If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now we're going to call Afghanistan to see if it's true if the women really shower naked. Boop, 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 boop. Ring, ring. Baka, baka, baka. Yes, this is Kevin and Bean from America. Is it true that your women shower naked? Baka, baka. Sorry, do you speak English? Kevin, let me try. Do you speak English? Baka, baka, baka. Click.
This show sucks.
Almost hard to believe we're in third place.
So what'd you do at these radio stations? On air?
I don't have what is widely considered to be an on-air personality.
Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Kevin and Bean, honestly, they're a couple of schmucks.
Screechy and annoying.
And now.
Screw you guys. I hate you. I hate you all. Die, die, die. Go to hell.
Our feature presentation.
It's that constant barrage of love that keeps us going. Very
That's
excited
right.
about that.
Every That's morning you think of that.
Yeah, you get up and you go, well, I'm tired. No, wait a minute. I'm going to make someone's life miserable. All right then.
Good job.
I'm going to drive in. Good morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 1st of May I See Them?
Boobies!
Oh, what a good month this is. What a good month this is. May I see them. I love that. Anyone see the Oprah yesterday?
No. Why would we watch Oprah?
Well, you may be like me, and sometimes you tune in when there's a guest on that you're interested in seeing what they're doing or having to say.
Mm. Nope.
No.
I missed it yesterday, but apparently your friend David Blaine was on. And, of course, David Blaine, who used to be a phenomenal magician, does not do magic anymore. Now he just does stunts, mostly of the endurance variety. He's the guy who sits on a block of ice on top of a flagpole for a week and stuff like that now, right?
Buried Alive. Remember that one in New York City?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 8 feet down or something.
Yeah. Yesterday, though, I would have liked to have seen it because I find it so hard to believe that he set a world record on Oprah's show for holding your breath underwater.
What's the record?
What do you guys guess is possible in that?
Well,
realm?
I always heard that if it got to be between 4 and 5 minutes, you could die.
Yeah, brain damage would set in.
Right, that's what I always heard. So I always thought, you know, you can't make it more than 4 minutes.
Well, I've heard of longer than that, but I've never heard of 17 minutes and 4 seconds.
He didn't breathe for 17 minutes.
Well, I didn't see it, so I don't know, you know, what was involved, but it seems to me if you're setting a record for holding your breath underwater, then, yeah, you don't have a, you know, obviously you don't have a snorkel or anything like that. I mean, I guess you're just down there figuring out a way to.
No.
I mean, isn't it 17 minutes and 4 seconds?
I mean, yes, but no.
Kevin, stop writing that. Stop writing that right
Why?
Now.
Why?
That's not even an option.
What? Beer mug, holding breath, 17 minutes, four seconds.
Well,
what?
Lisa, the previous record was set earlier this year by a guy in Switzerland on February 10th. He set a record of 16 minutes and 32 seconds.
I didn't know that it was anywhere.
Well, that's why I brought it up. Despite the Oprah aspect of the story, I am trying to figure out how he did it. And if you saw it, by the way, and you can comment, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. But Blaine is one of those guys who has said in the past, if you can, you know, stay awake long enough to listen to him talk, that he has figured out ways to slow his body down. I mean, that's how he's able to do some of this stuff, is he almost puts himself into some sort of hibernation.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he figured out a way to do that so that everything just moves so much more slowly that he didn't lose the air as fast in his lungs.
So you lower your pulse and your blood pressure and just kind of...
It's
going
like
a coma?
Hypothermia, where people go underwater in very cold temperatures and don't die, even though they might be underwater for 20 minutes.
Laird Hamilton and the Bra Boys and those huge, big wave surfers, they trained to do the same thing, to get somehow train their body through thermal shock and being underwater to keep their pulse down and to be able to maximize their oxygen content in their body to stay underwater for like 4 minutes. But, you know, plus.
Which is super...
Easily 4 minutes, so that, I mean, this guy who's the world record breaker, I don't know, made 17 minutes.
17 minutes.
It's impressive, right? I mean, even though it's David Blaine, you got to say, wow, that's pretty sweet.
Greg and Corona, good morning.
Morning, Kevin and Bean.
You were watching Oprah yesterday.
Unfortunately, I got home, and my wife had it on.
You've got some apologizing to do, for starters.
I did see that program yesterday, and it was pretty interesting. I got to admit, it caught my attention. They had him in a big spherical-like tank with really cold water, wearing a wetsuit.
Right.
And he was hooked up to a heart monitor. They had doctors there and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But he did the 17 minutes. He's still a douchebag.
Well, yeah, there's no question about that.
We're not debating
that.
When
he came out, he was a big attention whore and, you know, panting and breathing and coughing and that kind of stuff. But I guess he's trained to keep his heart rate down so low that he's able to do that.
Did they show what his heart rate dropped to?
Excuse me?
Did they show what his heart rate was?
Yes, they did.
And what?
And I guess towards the end, his heart rate started going a little faster, and they were a little concerned. But when he popped his head out of the water, he said that he was realizing he was getting pretty close to the world record, and he was getting excited himself. But he broke the record. They had a guy there from the Guinness or the World Record board, like you have to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And it was something else. I got to admit.
17 minutes.
I'm going to have to admire him.
I got a question about this, Greg. Is Oprah still fat?
She's enormous.
Well, that's good then. All right. Well, I guess it, just this once, we're going to allow you an Oprah exception. I'm glad you were watching yesterday. We appreciate you calling in, okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate you listening.
How about that? 17 minutes.
Unbelievable.
David Blaine does something that we're actually impressed with.
By the way, if you want to see something funny, go to funnyordie.com and search for David Blaine. There's some really funny clips on there.
Okay.
Some mock David Blaine clips. Very funny.
Excellent.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? It's Thursday morning. And on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Jon Favreau, who directs Iron Man.
Wow.
He's a terrific director, by the way. I mean, he's really, it's been so fascinating to see his career from Swingers up to now where if he's doing a movie like Iron Man, he's got to be a premier director in Hollywood.
Right.
You don't get those movies unless you're the dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's the dude?
He's the dude. I don't mean that dude.
Oh.
He's, you know, but he's just very impressive and an excellent director. I'm excited to hear about this movie.
Man, I think he got in at like 3 this morning or something and still said he's going to do the show. So.
Oh, that's nice.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Ed Roske is a name that you may not be familiar with. He's a billionaire that is building a new stadium in Los Angeles, a new football stadium in Los Angeles.
Yeah, too bad we don't have a team. What a waste.
And he's doing that to get an NFL team in Los Angeles.
Hmm.
Oh, that's better.
Now, there have been many attempts at this.
Yeah.
And some really successful people behind trying to bring a team here that, you know, could have done it easily. Somehow it never happens. It's like, I think one of the big sticking points is the Coliseum demands to have the team there. Nobody wants to play the Coliseum.
Right.
I don't know. There's just a big fight over, you know, how they're going to do it. But this guy, supposedly, is another guy who could do it. Got the money. Got the influence. So we'll talk to him today.
Okay.
The Armenian comedian. We have to talk to him today because he's, he creates things out of thin air, that man. And then he patents them, and then he helps humanity.
He's amazing.
I don't think he's ever done any of that. I think he has a lot of inventions that he talks about. I don't know that any of them have ever been successful or worthwhile or have ever even been introduced to another person for use.
Dude, I'm trying to sell the show.
Well, he claims he has a new way to masturbate, and that sounds like big business if it's any good. So we need to find out more information about that today.
It also seems kind of like a do-it-yourself thing.
I know.
I don't know that we need help.
Some things are perfect just the way they are.
Right. But that hasn't started stopped the industry for women for masturbatory toys for, you know, billions of dollars. I mean, clearly there, you know, some women accepted help in that area.
But men, come on.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Women, complex. Men, pretty
not
easy.
Not really, yeah.
See what he has to say.
Also on today's show, I don't know if you saw this. I didn't even know that lesbians got their name from a Greek island.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a Greek island called Lesbos,
mm-hmm.
And that's where lesbians come from. And apparently, all lesbians, by the way, come from Lesbos. Apparently, they want the name back. They're done with this whole girls that love each other calling themselves lesbians. They want it back.
Really?
Yep.
Well, good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because lesbians are pliable.
Yes. They're very simple. Very easy to get along with.
Wow. I like that visual. Everyone who lives on Lesbos is a lesbian, just like we're Americans. I mean, that's their country. So
that's not the way we think of lesbians, unfortunately. And
no.
They want to take the name away from the best thing in the world and use it for people who live on an island.
Yeah. Well, maybe they should have thought of this, I don't know, 10,000 years ago.
F them. What's a sport we
you
have?
You can't.
What is a sport we have had an ongoing conversation about for, I don't know, 10 years?
Yeah.
Where's the line? I mean, is bowling a sport? Is golf a sport? Where's the line below which you can go, that's a game. I don't think it's a sport.
Right.
So we will try to narrow that down a little bit more today.
Okay. However, most games are also sports, too, remember?
That's correct.
Let's face it. You know, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, they're all games, too. So that's not the distinction. But we need to come up with some ground rules as to what is. I mean, Ralph makes an excellent point. If you can drink and smoke while doing it, it shouldn't be a sport. You know, which I think automatically eliminates your golf and your bowling. But yeah. we'll get to your thoughts on it coming up next hour, too.
We're going to call. We have a very fresh idea. We're going to call Sustainable Dave. He's the guy who's saving all his trash in his basement.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to recycle at the end of the year, and he's going to go, wow, that's a lot of trash.
We're recycling our phone calls. We're doing our part.
LaQuisha, taking a look at A Shot of Love 2 with Tila Tequila coming up just after 6. And the Kevin and Bean Investigative Report calling Tunisia. I don't know if you've seen this, but there's a father there who claims that his daughter is no longer a virgin because of phone sex.
Yay!
And he's claiming phone rape.
Physical, too.
I'm not kidding.
Like a physical effect of talking on the phone.
Yep. Yep.
And how did I miss that?
And the case is going to court. Can you imagine that?
Is the phone on trial?
I believe so. The phone could get life.
Jury. I want to be on that jury. Come on.
If you're going to be on a jury, that's the one to do it.
That's the one.
So anyway, that is what's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. What are you doing, Ralph? Happy about your Flyers? What's that about?
I'm way happy about the Flyers. 4-2, bitches!
Ralph came in posing, which is odd for him, showing me the guns.
Psycho said, look at your arms. You're swole, he said.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I had my headphones
on. So I had to, give him what he asked for.
Quite a gay subtext on this morning's program between you two. I don't know what's going on here.
Did you watch Oprah last night? Someone held their breath.
Hey, that was interesting.
Subtext.
That was interesting, by the way. I got news for you. Why not join us Monday morning in, it's considered Hollywood, right? 7250 Melrose Avenue. That would
sure
be in Hollywood, right? The unofficial
sure
town of Hollywood where
it's
Ralph will soon be mayor.
Hollywood and Miracle Mile.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Fairfax District.
We're going to be at El Guapo Rock and Roll Cantina this Monday. Doors open at 6 o'clock, 21 and up. First come, first serve. Why, you're wondering, why are Kevin and Bean doing a live show on a Monday? Well, this Monday, my friends, is Cinco de Drinko. Cinco de Drinko. So, all the details are on the Kevin and Bean section of krock.com.
Lisa, Ralph, you're going to be there, right?
Ahí lo vemos. Arriba!
All right, good.
Wow, she's ready.
Good news.
She's set.
Ahí lo vemos. Arriba!
Wow.
It's like being in Mexico.
It is.
Lisa.
Speak of the Spanish.
Yes.
You sure do. Yeah, you do.
5:49, time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat with the swole one.
3-1, Flyers over Canadians.
How about
that? I thought
that
it was 4-2.
No, no, it was 4-2 last
game
night.
Game was 4-2.
Oh, score. Now it's 3-1 in the series.
The series is 3-1.
Game's 3-1.
Yeah, it good. Yeah.
Could have picked that.
Not me.
But even you, Ralph, think this is as far as they'll go, right? I mean,
the Pens, the Pittsburgh Penguins look just
unbeatable.
Unbeatable. Yeah. But if the Flyers beat the Canadians, it will be Flyers Penguins for the conference championship.
For the Battle of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so I'm enjoying it while I can.
Sharks finally got one win. They were down 3-0. They got one win last night.
Got a angry email from a Ducks fan.
Yeah.
Last night, because I guess they were watching the Flyers game on Versus.
Right.
Who even knew there was a Versus? I've just discovered Versus this year. I had no idea it existed.
Hockey's been on it all year. Otherwise, it's bull riding.
It is.
It's the old Outdoor Life Network, isn't it?
Yeah, old OLN.
A lot of bull riding.
A lot of bull riding. And the Tour de France, apparently. That's they claimed their claim to
fame. That's right.
Anyway, he was watching. He says, hey, a-hole, why don't the Flyers get their own score song instead of stealing it from the Ducks with the Bro Hymn? Bro Hymn is our song, and you stole it, a-hole, jerk, face, a-hole. He was very angry. And
first
I wrote
of
back
all,
and I said, I don't think the Ducks are using it right now.
Oh.
So I don't think it's a problem. We'll give it back when they need it.
But I think the anger was well placed because everyone knows you run the music for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Right. I was going to say, take a jet down to the Wachovia Center and do their programming there for what they play during the games. Come on now. All right, Stuck Showbiz, shall we?
Okay.
This Rob Lowe sexual harassment case gets deeper and uglier.
Yeah.
A second nanny has come forward to file a complaint against the couple. Laura Boyce is her name. Only this time, she's not accusing Rob Lowe of the sexual misdeeds. It's his wife, Cheryl.
Yeah.
According to the complaint.
A vacation on the island of Lesbos, by any chance?
Well, I don't think so. Cheryl seems to be quite the randy one, though, if you believe this complaint, which was filed with the L.A. Superior Court yesterday. Among the allegations are that Cheryl walked around naked, completely exposing herself to Laura Boyce.
Okay.
That Cheryl would often ask Laura about the size of her boyfriend's penis. Because he's a former NBA player.
Yeah!
African-American gentleman who's over 7 feet tall.
All right, that's a legitimate question.
That's a legitimate question.
Why not ask about it?
How could you not ask?
If I met her at a cocktail party, yes. I'd ask about it. Hey, is that your boyfriend? Come on. How big is he?
Yeah.
Chicks love Wang Bone.
That's true.
She would ask questions whether she could have sex with her boyfriend.
That
might
good.
Be crossing the line
sure
a little bit.
Sure she was kidding, right?
She would use her forearm to gesture as to the size of Boyce's boyfriend's penis.
Wow, what a house.
She would often laughingly say that Rob Lowe's genital rings were broken and show them to her.
What?
She alleges.
What's that?
I can't say the C-ring.
Yeah.
The ring you put around your genitals in order to capture the blood flow inside
can't
of it.
Can't see gotcha. That word.
Right. She would tell Laura Boyce about her sex life with Rob, talk about the size of her children's penises.
Oh no, 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 no.
At one time, Laura Boyce called in to say she was too sick to come to work, and Cheryl allegedly screamed, "You got strep throat from sucking ND."
Oh my, okay.
She sounds just like a crude person is what she sounds like.
I want to hang out with the Lowe's. I want to have a dinner party at the Lowe's.
That's what I'm saying. That house rules.
Those two's a swing, baby.
No kidding.
Check that out.
Anyway, no word from Rob Lowe's camp regarding the allegations, but not surprisingly, there is claims for wrongful termination, unpaid salary, labor code violations, abusive process. They're asking for some coin on the other end.
I happen to have a position available on my penis.
Yes.
Giddy up.
There you go. Good times. Paris Hilton is Benji Madden's muse.
Oh sure.
That may be the flimsiest thing I've ever said. Apparently, she tells People magazine that her boyfriend wrote a song for her called Shine Your Light and says it was the sweetest thing that anyone's ever done for her.
I don't mind that he does that. Just don't force it on us. Don't release it is all I'm asking.
Apparently, he used the lyrics Shine Your Light because he couldn't find a rhyme for night vision lens. It is hard to rhyme in his defense.
It's true.
Jessica Simpson is now introducing Tony Romo of the Dallas Cowboys as her future husband.
Yes.
Spectacular.
Good news.
Thank you, Jessica.
You mispronounced his last name. You said Romo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tony Romo.
That's right. There you go.
She tells Glamour magazine that he, and this is her quote, reintroduced me to myself.
What?
Yeah. And boy, was I disappointed when I met me.
She didn't like me much.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Joe Simpson, her manager slash father slash creepy dude, is trying to get his younger daughter on television. Back on television, I guess I should say. She's already had one shot at a reality show. Simpson is apparently shopping around a new show called The Ashley Simpson Show.
It's creative.
It is. You know, she already had that back in 2004 when she was working on that album or whatever.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, he wants to get her back on TV. They should call the show the only person you want to see less than Jessica Simpson on television. That's what they should call it.
Because I like it. I like it. It's a hit. I think I'll keep watching it.
It's not on yet, Dave.
It's nice when you talk about celebrities doing cool things for people. New York Post has a story where they say Renee Zellweger was in a restaurant in New York City and heard from the staff and the waiters of what was going on that there was a big birthday party being celebrated across the room. And so she picked up the check for the entire party.
Wow.
But never told them. Didn't say a word. Just paid for it and then quietly slinked into the night.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But that doesn't make her pretty.
No. Of course not.
Don't get me wrong.
No. Still a butthole with lipstick, but...
Look, she can't help how she looks. At least she's nice.
Butthole lipstick, by the way.
Butthole lipstick's a good band.
More celebrities doing nice things. Jennifer Garner, apparently, is working on a new movie called This Side of Truth. And People magazine reports that she made special time to walk away from the set and go over to a group of young girls who were apparently just starstruck with her and signed autographs and sat with them and talked to them for about an hour about swimming because they were all swimmers and she used to swim when she was their age.
Oh, wow.
She seems like the sweetest girl.
She does.
Doesn't
she?
That's nice.
And she can fight. You do not want to get in a fight with her.
That's
good. It's an agent, you know.
Billy Bob Thornton's son, Willie, is in the middle of a sex scandal. apparently.
Willie Bob Thornton?
Willie Bob Thornton. He's 14 years old.
Yeah.
He what? Is.
Was that good?
Well, hold on a second.
You examine that?
He was dating a 22-year-old woman.
Okay.
And by dating, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scrumping. Her boyfriend found out.
Uh-oh.
And called the cops. To get her charged with statutory rape.
No kidding.
Oh, wow.
So now he is considered a victim of a sex crime.
Come on.
Los Angeles Police Department is currently investigating, and the word is that Willie has been cooperative with the sex crimes unit, and the detectives have also interviewed Billy Bob. So this sounds just bad.
Effed up on every level.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
14 years old, 22-year-old. Come on.
It's too good to be true.
Not if you're the son of a celebrity, I'm guessing.
I guess.
And it is official. There is proof. Grand Theft Auto 4 really does inspire violence.
Well, that's the critics have been claiming that since the first one.
Over there in the UK, two guys were standing in line to buy the game, and one stabbed the other one when they got into a fight. So what more evidence do you need than
but
that
they
right
weren't
there?
Playing the game, Ralph. They were just waiting to play.
That's how powerful it is. Before they even started playing it, they got violent. Imagine what they did after they played it. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Have you picked up your copy yet, Kevin?
I have.
And?
Oh.
I haven't played it yet, but I got it.
Okay. We expect a full review after the weekend.
No worries.
Last night at American Idol, Brooke White got the boot.
You guys are still watching that?
Yes. I wanted to watch it just to watch Brooke White get the boot. She's become horrible.
Really?
She started out pretty talented, then she had like a peak where it's like, wow, this girl's really sort of charming and talented. And then she just crashed and burned.
How do you get horrible? You can
I don't
sing
know.
You can't.
I think she cracked under the pressure, quite frankly.
I do too. I agree that she would not win and needs to go, but not before Jason Castro. I was furious.
Yeah,
furious.
He's really horrible.
And let me tell you the thing about him, Kevin, because I know you don't watch. First of all, he really is, I think, retarded. I mean, I think he's got an IQ of about 70. He's so stupid. But he doesn't understand that he's bad. He acts like he deserves to be there.
Right.
He ought to be ashamed that he's still on this show. Like, so unbelievably grateful that anyone watched him, yet he acts like, woo, like, here I am, like, I rock, like, I rule. He's terrible.
Well, the girls go nuts for him. I think that's part of it.
I think Ralph's theory is right that there's too many teenage girls voting for this show, and therefore you're going for cute boys rather than good singers.
Yeah.
Really? What a surprise. Wow, that's a surprise in the 17th season of American Idol.
That's always been a factor.
You women watching
usually,
that show.
Usually when you get to this point in the competition, the last four or five people are really strong singers. That's usually the modus operandi with this thing. But this year, it's just not the case.
Yeah, by now you've gotten past the Sanjayas and the people like that who
right.
are just teen fodder.
Right.
But for some reason, this Jason Castro kid's in the top four, and he's horrible. Not one person would ever buy this guy's record.
No, it's absolutely true.
I like how furious Bean was. I was furious last night. Really? Not only do you watch American Idol, you get furious while watching
I would have written a strongly worded letter if I thought it would have done any good.
Imagine if someone had held their breath on American Idol.
Don't get me started.
Would have been everything.
Would have been the best.
Hope Jason Castro holds his breath for 17 minutes.
And don't forget that today is May 1st.
Yes.
Please don't
yes.
forget. Which
yes.
means that this afternoon, check your local listings for divorce court. But on that program, you will see Gary Coleman and his 22-year-old wife, Shannon Price, hashing out their differences in front of a Judge Lynn Toler on divorce court. So
on our machines, I think it was 10 a.m. So check.
Maybe that early?
Check whatever
I
time
it was afternoon. But.
And it also said part one of two.
Yes, it is a two-part. It'll be today and tomorrow is the Coleman divorce. So you're not going to want to miss that. I have no idea what it entails, but I'm telling you, you're not going to
They call
miss
her
it.
A model? The girl that married
yes.
Gary Coleman? She is just a hideous 909-looking piece of white trash.
Well, Oof. They call him an actor, Kevin.
Yeah,
it's about as accurate.
And a celebrity.
That's going to be right. That's going to be good TV. Right?
Well, remember we got that email from the guy who used to manage the Radio Shack where she worked in Utah. That's what her career is. It's not model.
She models batteries.
It's battery getter. Today's celebrity birthdays. Darcy from Smashing Pumpkins is 40 years old today. Tim McGraw, country singer. But more importantly, son of Tug McGraw.
Is that right? Who's
Tug
McGraw?
The Tugger. He was a famous pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies and the Mets.
Is that baseball?
That is baseball.
Yeah, I'm out.
All right, how about this?
You
got
to believe. You got to believe. He coined that phrase. You got to believe. You got to believe.
Really?
That's him.
How about Married to Faith Hill? Does that earn you respect a little bit?
Yeah, that's much better.
That's sure. Much
okay.
Better. Yeah.
He's 41. He's got that too. Because she's hot.
And Ray Parker Jr.
Uh-oh. Yes! Come on!
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
The only man ever to dump ice cream on Bean's wife.
That's true.
One of the greatest stories ever.
We might need to tell that story again.
Have to talk to Donna sometime today and get to the Ray Parker Jr. story again. That was the best. He's 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Don't you just wish you could fast forward the show one hour from right now when we're talking to Sustainable Dave? I mean, come on. Wouldn't you like to just get past all the BS between now and then and just cut right to Dave?
Are you still keeping all that trash in your house?
Yes, I am, Kevin Bean.
Wow, that's got to be a lot of trash by now. Sure is. How about your kids? How do they feel about it? But they're not inviting a lot of their friends over to play. Well, my family is still a little upset about the fact, but I really think we're doing something good to acknowledge how much trash we throw away as Americans.
Why do you hate, Ralph?
Why do you blow?
Why do you hate?
Why do you blow?
I can't answer that. It's just I do.
Well, that's why I hate. Okay. I hate because
one
you blow.
1 hour from right now, children, Sustainable Dave will be on the Kevin Bean Show for his monthly visit. First, though, let's turn our attention to this article by this guy, and I don't know who he is, and not that it even matters, but he tried to I got to give him credit for this. He tried to tackle one of the great questions of the 20th and 21st century, which is, what is a sport? What are the criteria that you must meet in order to be considered a sport?
This guy was watching ESPN, and poker came on. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the 2000-whatever World Series of Poker. And he said, that's not a sport. And then he tried to identify the traits that are a sport. You know, there is a difference between a competition or a game mm-hmm. and a sport. And mm-hmm. he came up with three ways to identify what a sport is. I don't think I agree with him on this, but here are his three ways. Number one, it has to have a ball or some type of ball-like object, like a puck or some object that they try to move somewhere. That's his number one. Number two is there has to be some sense of physical urgency, like running or jumping. You can't just walk or drive.
Okay.
Like putting golf, right?
Golf.
And number three, your opponent has to be able to stop you or hold you back somehow, hinder you from making progress. Uh-oh. Intercept the ball, blocks, tackle, you know, some way to stop you.
Okay.
But that eliminates a lot of things, like track and field, for example, wouldn't be a sport. And that's ridiculous. And boxing wouldn't be a sport.
Yeah, he says specifically you can't do something quicker than your competitor. That's not a sport if you're just trying to beat someone. A race is not a sport, he says.
So a race is a competition.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, though. I mean, boxing has to be a sport. There's no possible way. You have to have boxing, and then you have to work backwards and determine what a sport is or not. But
it's a good jumping off point, and maybe there isn't a specific set of rules that you can apply to all sports. Maybe each has to be debated individually because, for instance, there are people who violently agree and disagree that NASCAR is or is not a sport. There are some people who say, absolutely, there's no question it's a sport. Others will say, yeah, it's physically demanding and it's hard, but so is taking the SATs. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a sport. I mean, I don't know that you can't really apply any of those rules to that to make the decision. But, I mean, what's your ruling on that, for instance? Is driving race cars, is that a sport?
I think racing in any form, like swimming, running, driving a car, I think that's all a sport.
I think if it requires physical skills... Which poker does not.
No, poker's clearly not. That's what this guy was trying to say.
But if it requires physical skills and some sort of strength and ability, then it's a sport.
So in your mind, Lisa, bowling is a sport then?
I do.
No, bowling's not a sport.
I don't think so.
You don't think NASCAR is?
I wouldn't consider NASCAR a sport.
I would.
Because the car is doing the preponderance of the work. You could be a great driver, but if you're in a crappy car... You can't compete as well as another competitor. You know what I'm saying?
But you could also beat a crappy car and... overcome that by being a good driver.
But you can't win by being a bad driver.
The mechanics plays a huge role in the outcome of the game versus the competitor itself. I think it has to be on the onus has to be on the athlete in order to win or lose. That's why I think horse racing. I think although those guys work their asses off, the jockeys, I think the preponderance of the success lays with the horse.
Oh, I see. So it wouldn't be a sport.
So it's not a sport. I don't think those races are sports.
What about bowling?
Bowling, not a sport.
Where's the line? Where do
we
draw the line?
Anything you can smoke and drink while you're doing is not a sport. That includes darts,
what about
pool,
Vlade Divac?
He used to smoke in the game. He used to smoke.
But he played basketball.
He didn't smoke while he was taking a jump shot.
No, that's true. He would have if they would have let him.
Or whatever he was doing.
They would have let him. He would have.
But let me ask you about the golf. And by the way, I agree. But just for the sake of argument, I mean, it does require a great deal of athleticism and stamina to be a world-class golfer, doesn't it?
It does.
I don't think that still doesn't count as a sport.
I think that's not what we're debating is that these these games or competitions or whatever, or pastimes, whatever you want to refer to, things that aren't, are not a sport, do need some degree of physical acumen. But I don't think they were in the same the category as a sport.
But a game and a competition are both fun and good, and
they're great.
This just maybe
just
not a sport.
Sports like baseball, not a sport.
Oh,
well,
not a sport.
For example, the perfect example. That's why balls should not be the judging factor, because baseball uses balls. Obviously, it's right there in the name, but yet still not a sport.
I don't like baseball much either.
Right,
and fat guys can play it,
and it's not a sport.
But it seems like a sport to me.
It is America's pastime for a reason.
Because
it is a pastime. It's what you do when you have time to pass. When you have time to kill, you either play or watch baseball. It is a pastime.
All right, we're going to need some help drawing the line at 1-800-520-1067.
Right above baseball. That's where the line is.
Tell me about curling, you guys.
No. Not a sport.
Okay, I'm just saying it again.
I'm just saying athleticism.
Baseball's a sport. Curling's a sport.
Wrong.
If there is too much gayness, it's not a sport. That happens to have a lot of gayness.
So nude curling would be
that's correct.
Out then.
Let's take one call before the break. Let's go to Matt in Van Nuys. He's on line three. And then we're going to take all of your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Matt would like to weigh in on NASCAR specifically. Sport or no sport, Matt?
It is a sport.
It is. Now, what about Ralph's point that the car does a majority of the work?
I went to high school with Kevin Harvick, and he was a wrestler in high school. He was an athlete. I mean, this dude's been doing it his whole life.
He's
always been in great shape.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I remember in high school, this dude would, we'd get out of double sessions in wrestling, and he would be more tired after a race than after doing, you know.
Well, you weren't listening. We didn't say that these guys weren't athletes, that they don't work hard at whatever competition they're engaging in. It's just that the activity itself should not be classified as a sport, per se.
Well, I think it's a sport. I mean, I know it's dominated by rednecks, and that's what kind of kills the whole wanting to acknowledge it as a sport factor.
No, I can recognize that it's dominated by the rednecks, and I still think it's a sport.
But, Matt, let me ask you this. Just to use the example that you gave about how tired your friend is after he does it. I mean, if he went out and mowed 40 acres of lawn, he'd be just as tired. Does that mean that's a sport?
If he was racing to do it, maybe.
Someone had a stopwatch on him? All right. Thank you, Matt. All right, 1-800-520.
Just because you get tired doing it doesn't make it a sport.
Doesn't make it a sport, right?
1-0-6-7. Yeah. That's the number. Help us draw the line. Ralph, we have to take baseball as a sport.
Mine's just above baseball.
Just below.
There's baseball, there's bowling, there's darts.
They're all in the same category?
All in the same category, and then everything else is on top of that.
We're trying to finally get to the bottom of this whole argument about what is a sport and what's not a sport. And I don't think we're making progress.
We just know that baseball not.
Baseball
is the only thing.
Not only a sport, but the best sport. I'll tell you something else before we go back to your phone calls with your opinions on various sports at 1-800-520-1067. I think you guys will agree with me on this. The girl has got to shut up. She brings up... She said women's basketball is a sport.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Obviously, men's basketball is a sport. Well, we got to draw the line somewhere, and it's right above women.
Kevin said that if it's gay, it's not a sport.
If it strikes me as gay.
So if it's women's basketball, it's not a sport. He's like, right, not a sport.
Yes.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
It looks like a sport.
It's basketball. It's the exact same
it's
game.
It's sport-esque.
It's not.
It appears sport-esque.
Same game.
Yes. No, it's not the same game.
Guys,
if professionals can't dunk, it's
so
not the same.
Hey, they dunk. One of them dunked
at one time.
Once.
All right, let's start with Catherine in Claremont. A moment ago, we read criteria from just one random guy about what constitutes a sport. And that his definitions, I think, left us cold. So we're looking for a better definition so how we can decide on what are sports and what are just athletic competitions. Catherine, what are you weighing in on this morning?
Well, I'm weighing in with, like, professional dance, like, I don't know, ballet or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because, okay, if cheerleading and NASCAR is a sport...
Who said cheerleading's a sport?
Isn't and isn't.
It's on ESPN, I don't know.
Well, ESPN shows...
They need programming.
ESPN shows rock, paper, scissors, by the way.
They're desperate.
I don't think cheerleading's a sport.
No. Nor is dancing, by the way.
I have, like, professional, like, sports medicine people who work for all the professional dance companies...
Well, we're not saying
I had a professional sports medicine guy take a look at my knee once. It doesn't make me an athlete.
No, you got to understand. It can be a competition.
It can be physically grueling.
And it can be difficult. Doesn't necessarily make it a sport. Dancing has a lot of art in it.
Yeah, dancing's an art, obviously.
That's
if
what I
would say. Dancing's a sport, then singing's a sport.
That's a good point. And singing doesn't seem much like a sport.
Acting's a sport.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the call, though.
Got exhausted doing NYPD Blue. Oh, blew my knee out.
Dave writes in, and this applies to the call about dancing. If a judge is needed to determine the outcome, then it is not a sport. If you have judges, then it is a competition, not a sport.
That's
is what
not
he
true,
says.
Because then boxing would be out.
Well, but according to his criteria,
boxing uses judges only for a tiebreaker, though. They don't necessarily.
No, they don't.
They don't.
Judges, no. The judges.
If one guy doesn't win in the fight.
No, but that's how they win. Judges judge each and every ring. They give a number of points to each fighter for each ring. At the end of the fight, they tabulate all the points, and whoever has the most points wins the match.
Yeah, that's
true. You're not helping, Ralph.
What are you going to do?
But they only use that if there's no knockout, though.
But most of the time, there is no knockout.
And in Olympic-style boxing, there's never a knockout.
It's all points.
All right, let's talk to Joey in Lancaster. He's on line six, please. Kevin and Bean Show, what is a sport? What is not a sport? Joey, what are you calling about?
I'm calling about bowling. First of all, I just want to say I listen to you guys religiously because you're the only station on the air that's actually funny.
But, however.
But bowling, there's two types of bowling. They have a no-tap league, which is just for fun. If you get 9 pins on your first ball, it's actually a strike. That's not a sport. That's not a sport. But real bowling, I think, it is a sport.
It's not a sport!
How it just
it's a pastime. It's a game.
It is a game.
It's a game.
And you guys said you were listening for like a definition.
Yeah. How do you define what is what isn't? Because you're choosing bowling. How do you do that?
And I think that your perfect solution is size matters, and I'm not talking about the balls.
Size matters.
What?
No. Yeah. Think about it. Football, soccer, hockey.
The basketball, size of the
they're big
matters?
Arenas. They're big arenas or big, you know, courses, things like that.
How many people are watching makes it a sport or not?
Not necessarily how many people are watching, but the size of, like, the field of the sport. If you're talking about ping pong or billiards, that's in a room or darts.
By the way, bowling's in a room. How do you call in and say it depends on the audience?
You're BS, Joe. You don't make any sense, and we're hanging up on you right now.
Size of the field.
A hockey arena is not large. It's not big compared to, you know, lots of other fields. But obviously hockey's a sport, so that's just crazy.
All right. What
a boxing ring is small compared to most.
Tennis.
Yeah. Let's say good morning to KJ in Palos Verdes. Good morning, KJ.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
We're good. We're talking about what is a sport. What do you got?
Well, you know, I play golf professionally on the Japan PGA Tour, and I go into this conversation all the time, and I think golf is definitely a sport.
Yeah, you're wrong.
I do, too.
Golf's a sport.
It's not a sport.
It
golf's
is.
A sport.
I think if you can be fat and smoke while you're doing it, probably not a sport.
There are very few golfers, professional golfers, who are fat and smoke.
And I think more importantly is if the person is an athlete rather than if it's a sport or game.
Right, and the answer for golf, no. There are some athletes that play, but you don't have to be an athlete to play golf.
I think the argument that just because something is physically demanding should make it a sport, adversely, just because something's not physically demanding doesn't mean it's not a sport.
Hmm.
I mean, golfing insane. Is incredibly difficult and takes
it
a lot of skill.
It is difficult. I'm not saying it's that difficult.
There's a lot of
skill.
No.
It's not a sport,
and,
though.
And it involves athletic competition between two men that is physically...
That's why it's a competition. That's why it's
based.
A game.
Let me
That's
ask a question.
A game, by definition, is a competition.
Let
so,
me ask a question.
So is Monopoly.
KJ, does another guy carry your bag?
Sometimes.
You're out.
If you spend less time during the day of the event... Less time not doing it than doing it, it's not a sport. Golfers just walk to the next thing. That's they spend the whole day walking. The sport should be called walking. The actual golfing part is a very brief moment in the course of the event.
I think
but, Ralph, look
silly.
At a 100-yard dash. You work for 8 seconds for
but
the whole
during,
day, though.
But during that event, during the actual competition, you are hauling ass and working your ass off.
Thank you, KJ, for the call.
Here's President Bartlett from the late, great television show West Wing. I think he's the final word on golf anyway.
Okay, well, golf's not a sport. It's fine, don't get me wrong, but let's not you and I confuse it with things that men do.
Exactly, well said.
That's true.
This might be the defining email on this topic from Todd. Thank you for writing in. Hey, Bean, just a statement to prove that being tired does not qualify it as a sport. I used to be in excellent shape. I wrestled for years, but it was nothing when you compared to the physical and emotional exhaustion of listening to Psycho Mike try to finish a story. That's what he says. So
that's
what we've
a
learned
sport?
From, I don't know what we've learned from that.
I think this entire conversation has left the topic murkier than it was before. It's much more...
I think Bean may have a point that it may be a case-by-case situation where you have to judge each particular event on its own merit.
I will tell you
rather than one
NASCAR,
set of rules. Yeah.
No, but then someone called in, we haven't talked to him, about motocross. How is that not a sport?
I would say that would be a sport.
That's got to be a sport. Yet still you've involved a vehicle.
I think anything that involves a machine as the primary competitive device is not a sport.
Oh, I have to disagree with
but
that.
The motorcycles aren't exactly going and doing backflips without the guy.
Yeah.
No, you know that's what I mean? True. Well, the cars aren't driving themselves either. The horse isn't running around the track by itself. It has a person guiding it.
You think the horse even knows he's there? Really? Those jockeys are like 2 feet
when he's
tall.
Whipping his ass with a running crop. Yeah, he's pretty sure he's there.
Well, here's what we do know. If it's on ESPN, that doesn't necessarily make it a sport because there is poker and there's rock, paper, scissors.
Hi, everybody. I'm Trey Wingle. And tonight, one hand sports savant will smash, slice, and smother his or her way to $50,000 and also be crowned national champ.
That's correct, Trey. You're a scholar and a gentleman. And, you know, a lot of people used to laugh about it, but there is absolutely nothing funny about the sport of rock, paper, scissors.
Sport.
Now, rock, paper, scissors is a complex game. The winners must possess skill. They must possess strategy, stamina, arms, and fists.
Okay. All right. That's enough of that. It's not a sport. Just because it's on ESPN doesn't mean it's a sport. That's the only rule we can agree on here. Just because it's on ESPN doesn't necessarily make it a sport.
Sure.
Right. Everything else, we're all fuzzy on.
Baseball, not a sport.
Whoa, okay.
Baseball,
all right.
So much we know.
So whatever's on ESPN, not a sport.
Time.
And baseball, not a sport.
Right.
Okay, good.
Settled.
We're in agreement.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What do you got, Ralph?
Sir Ian McKellen, who played Gandalf the Wizard in the Lord of the Ring movies, has agreed to return for 2 Hobbit movies. They are making the films about Bilbo Baggins. You know Bilbo Baggins, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Bilbo Baggins. Ever heard that song by Leonard Nimoy?
Yes.
Oh, it's very funny. We're going to have to get that.
I'm not sure who that is either. I'm not sure what that is.
Well, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien wrote these books, right?
Yes.
Lord of the Rings series, the trilogy were his books.
Right.
But that world, the world of the Hobbits and whatnot, was based on his original book called The Hobbit.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Which is a prequel, in essence, to the Lord of the Rings.
So it's before the ring.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. It's about Bilbo Baggins is the name of this hobbit, and he has to recover a stolen treasure from a dragon's lair.
What was that?
Sorry. The first movie's due in 2010, and somebody good's directing, too, and I can't remember now.
I can't help you.
I get a bunch of angry emails, but I can't think
of
it.
It's not
Peter Jackson. He's not returning.
Okay.
But it's a director of some significance.
Email Ralph at krock.com.
Please don't.
If you have that information.
Let's have the staff work on that so we can get that answer before the end of this Showbiz Beat so no one has to email me.
I'll have it for you in a moment.
You just feel bad making them work like
God
that.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro.
That's who it is.
Oh.
Guillermo del Toro.
From Pan's Labyrinth. Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
So email that to Ralph at krock.com.
No, we got the answers.
We got the answer.
Don't Guillermo del Toro has the answer. Yeah. People are concerned about the financial health of Iron Man this weekend.
Why?
You would think it would be a slam dunk. You think everyone's going to go, and they should, by the way.
It seems
you trying
like
to bum
it.
Out John Favreau on his way down
I'm
here this
not.
Morning?
I'm just saying it's an interesting point that both CNN and Entertainment Weekly magazine have said some experts believe that Tuesday's release of Grand Theft Auto 4 might actually cut into the audience of Iron Man.
So the same people that would have gone to the movie will stay home to play video games?
Will sit their fat, pasty, white asses at home on a couch and keep playing the video
you
game
got Friday
because
night,
obsessed with
all
it.
Day Saturday and all day Sunday, and they can't take 2 hours
Did
out.
You know it takes 30 to 40 hours to complete the game, Kevin?
I have heard that. Yeah.
That means it'll take Kevin 200 hours, so he's
never,
he can enjoy that for the next year.
Can't sit down,
I'll never complete
and
it.
And you don't
That's
have
me.
A chance to have 30 or 40 hours worth of time to complete the game. You may, if you got it Tuesday, you may be playing in 1 or 2 hour increments. You
I
may
see.
Be more concerned about getting to the end of the game over this weekend than you are getting it to the movies.
And
I'm not saying it's going to happen, and I don't believe necessarily these experts are right, but I think
right.
it's an interesting point of view to say that this game is so big, this video game is so big, that it might actually keep people from attending other sort of forms
wow.
of entertainment.
It's hard to put a number on how many people there will be, but you know for a fact there will be some. There are going to be some who are just, that's their whole weekend plan is to play.
If it wasn't
Grand
for this
Auto
game,
War.
They absolutely would be going to Iron Man.
Right.
Is what
yeah,
saying.
I can see that.
So, but anyway, it's going to make $400 billion this week.
The first day.
First day.
Friday.
Yeah. Yes. This is what I'm waiting for. This is a celebrity duet that, I don't know, just gets me excited. Lindsay Lohan and Snoop Dogg
are going to be collaborating?
They have already recorded a song together, Kevin.
No,
yes,
they haven't.
They have.
Oh.
And according to Fox News, it sounds amazing.
No.
Yes.
I think it could. I mean, Snoop is great at being a cameo performer on somebody else's song. He's almost always good in that role.
Lady Lohan.
And Snoop Dogg.
Mm. Yeah.
She's got a lot of big names collaborating with her on her upcoming CD. Timbaland and Pharrell are both lending a hand producing.
Well, they're the hot producers right now.
So, you know, look, anybody, if they're produced right with the right material, can come off sounding good.
I guess.
And I thought some of her other stuff, although not my type of music, was pretty good. She's not a bad singer.
In the pop world, it seemed
like a pop dancey kind of thing.
Seemed
she's,
okay.
She's pretty good.
So. And she's cute.
She sure is. You know, the Reaper, did you read the story in the LA Times? Reaper, one of my favorite shows on CW, is on the bubble.
Oh, no.
I'm afraid of it.
Yeah.
I like that show.
Don't fear the Reaper, Bean.
God damn you both. Right to hell.
So it's very important that you watch the remaining episodes and write the CW and send them peanuts.
No. That was Jericho. That was a whole different thing.
I'm sorry, I read it this weekend, and so I'm concerned about the show because I want to see it. I want to see it come back.
That
I really
is a funny show.
It.
I like that
it's
show.
Very entertaining, and everyone in there is very good. So do what you can, people, won't you? Okay.
We don't ask that much.
We don't. Right? Just save.
Go
save
see Iron Man and save Reaper.
Go see Iron Man and save the Reaper.
Two jobs this week.
Disney has asked young Miley Cyrus, in light of her controversial photographs in Vanity Fair magazine, they're ordering her, I'm not asking, ordering her to stay out of the spotlight till this whole thing dies down. They don't want her making any appearances. They don't want her attracting any more public attention. They want to wait until this thing dies down. And so Miley apparently has joined the cast of Friday Night Lights.
Oh, come on.
In order to avoid any sort of attention from an audience.
Guys, I'd love to get a copy of that.
Yeah, I would.
All right, Roddy. We didn't talk about that story much, but I'd like a quick thumbnail, one or two sentence response to the controversy over the Miley Cyrus back naked photo in Vanity Fair. Lisa, let's start with you.
What do you mean? Like what your opinion is?
Yeah, I mean, do you think it's being overblown, or do you think that there's
6:59 Bean's polling the room?
I'm just asking because there are people who think that that the photographer Andy Leibovitz said Billy Ray Cyrus ought to be hauled off to jail for making child porn, and then there are other people who are saying, "Hey, it's just an artistic, nice shot. There's nothing sexual about it." It's just there's so many wide ranging opinions on this topic.
I think I don't think it's child porn, but it feels a little inappropriate for a 15-year-old. Yeah.
Okay, Ralph.
I think she would wear less at a swimsuit party or, you know, at the beach. She's very covered up. It's not the least bit revealing. And I think it's a very beautiful picture. I think I'm fine with it.
Kevin?
I think I'm all right with it, too. It's a little disconcerting.
Yeah,
but
why are you posing her like that, though? She's 15. What are you
She's being
to
sexualized
look,
as a 15-year-old.
Look, yeah, I don't find her being sexualized in that
really?
Photo. I think she has been in her career, the way she dances and moves on the stage and everything. But I think the photograph is just it's a beautiful portrait. I don't think nudity per se has to be sexual.
This is going to get worse, too, as she's 16 and then 17, and she is turning into a woman. You know what I mean?
Well, it's up to her family and handlers to guide her through these waters, because it could get hinky. But I don't think in this particular case that it is it's a bad thing.
Well, we had that countdown going for Hayden Panettiere, and I suspect there's going to be one starting any minute now for Miley Cyrus. That's my opinion. That's where
Miley
I'm weighing.
Miley Cyrus, I don't find her particularly attractive.
She's getting better looking every year.
Teeth.
Yeah, I think the opposite's true. I think she's going to age poorly. That's my guess.
Right.
What do I know? Today's celebrity birthday. Are you done with your quorum there, Senator?
I just thought it's an interesting topic. That's
Should we take
all.
Some calls? Or
we just didn't have time to
okay.
get to it this
all
week,
right.
and I was
sure.
just curious what you guys
want
to
read some emails? You got anything in the email bag?
No.
What's the man on the street think? Remember when Mr. Wedley said, why don't you move things along? Don't make it a big, don't go off on tangents to make big speeches.
Right, but since when do we do what he says?
I know, but I'm just
I thought seriously. It was worth bringing up.
Seriously.
Bean's wheeling out a voting machine. Got ballot box. Put up posters in the hallways.
Bean, you didn't hear from Jed. I mean, what do you... What do you think, Jed?
What do you think, Jed, about the Miley photos?
What do you think about Miley Cyrus and the whole photograph controversy?
There's an ostrich farm in Ojai.
Uh-huh.
Care
cute. Well, there you go.
Okay. All right,
glad
good.
We asked.
Now it's complete.
Rodney, what do you think about it?
All right. I have no problem with the pictures. I think they look
really?
Great.
She's not too young, though,
no.
Rodney, to take a photo like that?
She could pass the pencil test.
Oh!
Okay.
All right.
All right, let's
Godhead.
Move on. All right.
Those pictures
okay,
are Godhead.
All right. You like them a little bit too much.
Rodney on the Rock Show, 106.7.
Right. How many copies of the magazine do you have there, Rodney?
Miley it's concerns Cyrus. Me.
Right.
We should do a duet with Brian Wilson.
All right. Bet you
I'd
do.
Never leave my room.
We gotta go.
A lot of tissues.
All right. And I'm the one who's slowing it all down, right, Rodney?
Oh, I wish you hadn't said that.
All right. Celebrity birthdays today. Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah.
Who are you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
That was one of the dumbest songs of history.
One of the
history.
Greatest songs in history.
Listen.
No. Rip-off artist.
I love the movie, but the song was gay as
when
hell.
There's
that was a bad song.
Wrong in your neighborhood.
Right.
Who are you going to call?
I know what the song is.
No, apparently you don't.
Stupid. It's a stupid song.
Tim McGraw, country singer, is 41 years old today, and Darcy from Smashing Pumpkins turns 40.
All right. Where are those pictures?
They're not here. We don't have them here, Rob. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Remix.
DJ Omar Khan.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm sorry. K-Rock. 106.7 KRQ. Taking the show live to the streets of Hollywood. The Fairfax District, I guess, is what we decided it was. The El Guapo Rock and Roll Cantina, 7250 Melrose Avenue in Hollywood. We're going to be there. Doors open at 6 o'clock this Monday for Cinco de Drinko. 21 and up. This one's free. You don't need tickets. Just show on up and join us. But I would say, based on previous Cinco de Mayo broadcasts that we've done, go ahead and plan on maybe taking the rest of the day off work. Okay?
It's a safe bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, good times. All the details, of course, available in the Kevin and Bean section of KRock.com.
A Greek court has been asked to draw the line between gay women and the natives of the sea island of Lesbos.
Yay!
Like all words, I just figured lesbians were always called lesbians and it wasn't based on anything, because that's my understanding of life. But apparently there was a 6th century BC poet, and her name was Sappho, and she praised women to women love, and she comes from the island of Lesbo.
Okay.
So that's why they call homosexual women lesbians.
Okay.
That's interesting. That's an interesting story of how the name came about. So I guess the problem now is that everyone who lives on the island of Lesbos, whether they're man, woman, child, gay, straight, are all actually officially lesbians.
Right.
And
that's starting
to concern them a little bit, because they say, hey, I'm a lesbian, and people, you know, misunderstand because of the other meaning of the word being more common.
So now, of course, they're taking it the extra step. There are three islanders who are suing lesbians to try and take the word back. They want lesbians to use another word so that when we refer to lesbians, we'll be referring to people who live on the island of Lesbos.
You know a lot about being a lesbo.
Doesn't it seem like it's a little late in the game? Like perhaps the word lesbian is pretty well entrenched at this point, maybe, that we're not going to all of a sudden start calling it something else?
And I don't know what court in Athens on June 10th is supposed to hear this. I don't know if they're going to rule and everyone's going to have to go, all right, we got to call them something else. I mean,
that's ridiculous.
What's the point of this?
I love lesbians.
Well, we do have more information available to us, Kevin, because producer Alex was able to line up
fantastic.
A spokesperson for the homosexual community of Greece. I guess Diana Mekonis is on the line from the island of Lesbos right now. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning. How are you?
All right, we're looking for Diana.
Yes, this is Diana. How are you doing this morning in the United States?
Well, we're fine, sir, ma'am. Are you a lesbian, meaning you're from the island of Lesbos?
No, I'm a lesbian, meaning I like to have sex with women.
Okay,
I am a woman who likes to have sex with women.
That's funny. You don't sound like a woman here.
It's funny. You don't sound so much like a man to me.
That's a good point. So do we have our facts straight? So the island of Lesbos is complaining now that around the world we use the word lesbian to mean something other than somebody from that place.
Yes, this is an insult to us, the homosexual lesbian community of Greece.
Now,
by some islanders from Lesbos who are taking to court what we use the name, and they are trying to pressure us not to use no longer.
Now, why are they saying it's an insult? What's the negative connotation?
Well, I'm saying it's an insult because they're attacking my identity as a woman. I mean, I, as a woman, I am offended that they're attacking my sexuality.
Right, sure. I can see that.
They believe that it is an insult to anyone who comes from the island of Lesbos to be known as lesbian.
We were looking for Diana, please.
Yes, this is Diana.
You sound like a beautiful, feminine little flower, Diana.
Thank you. I try very much.
So do you think what will happen is this judge that Kevin referred to in the trial that will start next month, do you think that they will order us to start calling you and your people something other than the word lesbian?
Well, we will fight with all the womanly power we have.
Okay, how much is that?
It's so much woman power. Because we identify as lesbian, and we understand the problem that someone from island of Lesbos may have. But our concern is that we have been, lesbian has been meaning a gay woman for so many years.
Right.
Absolutely.
That for them not to say that then we no longer can identify as lesbian is that we think an aggressive act, a homophobic act against women like myself.
I think so. It's almost like closing the barn door after the gay horse has already left.
Exactly.
Yeah, something like that. Hey, Diana, what are your measurements? Just curious.
My measurements?
Mm-hmm.
I am 5'8".
Mm-hmm.
I weigh 149.
Right.
I wear T-shirts.
Uh-huh.
Cigarette pack rolled up in the sleeve.
Right.
I have a lot of keys.
You have keys? Uh-huh.
Yes.
Do you have an Adam's apple?
No, I have
you
no
don't.
Adam's apple.
Okay. Although Lisa's taking notes for Halloween this year.
Remember when Lisa made dressed as lesbian?
Oh, yeah, that was ridiculous.
You got the lesbian glasses, too.
Yeah,
right?
I wear glasses.
Okay.
But our concern more than the lawsuit, which we think is ridiculous and an aggressive act against gay women like myself,
right,
is that the names they're trying to give us to substitute for lesbian, because we say if we're not lesbian, what can we call ourselves?
Oh, so they're saying, why don't you call yourself something else?
Yes.
I gotcha.
They say, why don't you call yourself Greek salad tossers?
Oh, that's, yeah. I can understand why you wouldn't want that. That's terrible.
No, it can't go. It can't have the homosexual and Greek salad tossers committee. You can't have that.
Yeah, that's true.
No.
Yeah.
The grape leaf lickers. Also.
Oh. Really? That's what they're saying?
Not a name we want to use.
Yeah. Of course not. No.
Pearl divers.
Right, heard that.
The
sure.
Pearl divers.
Right.
Is not a name we want to take.
Right.
And the last and most insulting of all, they say, Uzo Kuzo.
Yeah.
Don't want to say, oh, I'm an Uzo Kuzo.
I bet you don't.
I don't want to say that. No, neither does my girlfriend.
That doesn't sound good.
Women like she and I do not appreciate.
Right.
I don't blame you.
I don't blame you.
So are you going to live by the court's ruling on June 10th? Is that...
Of course we won't.
You won't.
You can't change who I am. I am a woman.
Well, clearly, yeah. I'm just so glad I'm...
I can't be any less a woman than I am a lesbian. The two are intertwined.
You don't do phone sex at all, do you, Diana? Because that would be kind of a disappointment for somebody who already has his credit card being charged.
At one time, I was a phone sex operator.
Uh-huh.
And then I almost... starved.
Right.
Yeah. No,
I bet you did.
No, I'm back working construction.
You don't sound so sexy, is what I'm saying.
How dare you?
I'm just saying it.
Well, I don't care what you think anyway, but I am lesbian woman.
Okay. Of course you are. All right. Diana. We'd like to check back in with you maybe next month after the judge's ruling comes down, if that's all right, Diana.
Nope.
No time.
Don't
no
sigh.
Time.
Don't
hey,
even
Dave.
Start sighing.
Hey,
no
Dave,
time.
You have a
no
lot of trash in your house? Yeah, sure do. Hey, is that a bottle I see on your website? Yeah, I got some bottles and I got some cans and
you don't know, man.
And
you
wow.
don't know.
Is it
you
really,
have no idea.
Is it really piling up there in your basement? Well, yeah, it's going all the way up the steps now. It's really it's a lot
wasting
of trash.
Our time, Ralph. We could be asking these exact
I'm
same questions.
Your time. You have a whole segment based around this phone call, but I'm wasting your time.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
Sustainable Dave is a K-Rock listener who is trying to do a good thing, but apparently he just gets poo-pooed by haters like Ralph Garbage. SustainableDave.org or 365daysoftrash.blogspot.com. Let's welcome Dave for his monthly visit back to the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Dave.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Hi, Dave.
We are good.
Dave, still got all that trash in your house?
Yeah, actually, I
yeah,
do.
All right.
Sure
thanks
do.
For talking to us. Bye-bye now.
All right. It's been great. Thank you.
Anything new on the trash front in the last 30 days, Dave?
It was a little bit of a slow month. I have to be perfectly honest. I'm sorry about that, Ralph. I was trying to muster some things up for you. But yeah, a couple of things happened. Hi, Lisa, by the way.
Hello, Dave.
How are you?
Good.
See, I have to give Lisa a little something extra because I got to put off Ralph's...
his hate? His hatred?
I understand.
My bile.
Why do you think he hates, Dave? Why do you think
it's
he
not
hates?
Hatred, Dave. I don't hate you. I think what you're doing is a great thing. I hate Kevin and Bean for calling you every month and asking
Ralph,
you the same
Ralph,
damn questions.
Ralph, if I do this and nobody talks about it, then I'm just a crazy guy. But
yes!
if I do it and you guys talk
That's
about it,
true.
Then I'm a crazy guy who other people can look at and go, he's crazy, but maybe I should change something. So, I mean, you know, it's a little
now,
bit of everything.
What if no one says that? Then what if they say, he's crazy, I'm not going to change anything? What about
well,
that?
Well, there is that risk, of course, isn't
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
Now, Sustainable, for folks who have never heard you before, yeah. The one-sentence recap of what you're doing and why is what?
The one-sentence recap is I stopped throwing things away and recycling things January 1st in order to sort of figure out how much I put out there during the year. You know, the idea of throwing something away is not really accurate because it's just a waste, so I wanted to look at it and see if I could cut it down to a smaller amount.
So you're keeping all of it in your basement?
All of it in the basement.
And if you go online, we can see pictures of it.
Yeah, you can see pictures of it, and you can actually look at every single piece as it's listed there, which is like, I got to be honest with you guys, it's the most tedious thing in the entire world.
Really? That's not fun?
Making a list out of trash?
Taking a picture of and listing each individual piece of trash is not a good time?
Yeah, the first week or two, it was like, ah, this this is really wild. I'm getting in touch with stuff, and now it's just like, oh, God, I hate it.
Okay, this is what I'm waiting for. This is the breakthrough moment that I want, and this is a stupid idea.
I'm being honest with you, okay? I'm being honest with you. I'm still learning a tremendous amount from it. And you know what the amazing thing
Can't
is?
Can't you do it for 4 months and then just divide by three, and then you'll figure out what you would have had for 12 months?
Multiply by three.
I could, and actually I think tomorrow I'm at one-third of the year.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Extremely happy about. But
why don't you quit, Sustainable? Have you thought about just quitting? Look, you've made your point. Why not just stop and go back to being a regular non-douchebag person?
We get it. We throw away a lot of stuff. We're very wasteful.
Wait a minute. Is that what he's saying?
Yes, we get it. Got it. Now, give your house back to your family, Dave.
Ralph, when you change, I will give up.
Wow.
Mm. Well, he's changing the station right now, I'll tell you.
Ralph has just left the room.
You're going to be throwing away trash for a long, long time.
You are. Sustainable, what is the end date for your project? Is it 1 year?
Yeah, it's 1 year. So
guys, you know we're talking to one of these guys who starts it, and then he gets in the middle of it, and he hates it. And then by the end of the year, there's no way he's going to stop. 2 years from now, he's going to have another house full of trash. He's going to have trash everywhere. He's going to be crawling through the trash in his living room.
He'll have more room because his wife and kids won't be taking up all that room in his house anymore.
He's going to be a crazy, crazy man when he gets older.
No. But the question of why don't I just give up is I set a goal for myself and I want to hit it.
Right, but that's a stupid goal. Can't you reassess?
You got to shoot high. You got to shoot high, Dave. I want to fill my house with garbage. That's one of my goals.
Reassess your goals.
It very well may have been. I totally accept that now, okay. But I am sticking it out to the end.
But now you're willing to say it was a bad idea.
I'm not willing to say it was a bad idea. I'm willing to say that maybe my time frame was a little longer than I should have thought about it first, but that's okay. I'm in it for the long run, and that's okay.
Sustainable, on January 1st, 2009, I want you to leave your house and take all the trash from your basement and just throw it in the street, throw it in the gutters, throw it in the ocean. Just get out there and catch up with all the year that Sustainable Dave has been in action.
Well, it depends on how much I have. I will definitely take that into
consideration. I'm having to throw away so much more just to make up for you.
Believe it or not, you know? I've gotten contacted by people who actually want the trash.
Oh, you have to do
that.
Okay, Sustainable's gone bye-bye.
Dave, why do they want the
they
trash?
They don't want the trash.
They're obviously the couple of people who are probably K-Rock listeners who are just putting it out there because they think it's funny. But then there are a couple of people who are artists who have actually said, I want your year's worth of trash to make into an art project, which is like, okay. I can't quite see it, but I'm
right,
not
Sustainable.
Artist, so
that, there's Marginal Steve, and there's Collectible Alan. They both want
like Marginal Steve.
I'd like to check in with Marginal Steve next month.
But, you know, when you guys first called me, let's face it, we all thought this was like ridiculous and nobody was ever going to
right, but we were right.
Yes. And last month, I think actually like the day that I talked to you, or day after I talked to you, I was actually on the front of the Korean National Daily News on the internet.
Then it's all worth it.
It was unbelievable.
Well, if that was your goal, then mission accomplished.
I don't know that was my goal.
That's because the Koreans are trying to distract their people from the big bombs they're building.
It was the South Koreans, not the North Koreans.
All right, saying to us today, if I could interpret, is this is a bad idea and it's not going to go a year.
I'm not saying that.
All right, good. Glad to hear it. Thank you, Sustainable.
He wouldn't be very sustainable if he gave up when you think about it.
That's true. It would just be the end of it. But, I mean, a lot of good has already come out of it. I get emails from people all over the place.
Of course you do. And they want your trash. We know.
Yeah.
Hey, come on, Dave.
Look, I get emails from people who like my blog. It doesn't make it good, all right?
And the Koreans love you. We know, Dave. We got it.
All right. Sustainable, we are way out of time. We love catching up with you every 30 days. SustainableDave.org or 365daysoftrash.blogspot.com. Get a webcam in the basement so we can follow it minute by minute all year long, Dave. And we'll talk to you in a month, all right, dude?
All right. Thanks a lot.
That would be exciting. Thank you, Sustainable.
You're telling me that anyone who's left after our interview with Sustainable Dave is now going to be subjected to the Armenian Comedian? That's the 1-2 punch?
Hey, Sam.
That's what we're putting on for entertainment today?
Hey, Sam.
Hey.
Now, I don't know what happened last time we talked to you, which was yesterday or the day before. Don't curse. Do not use cuss words, please.
What happened?
Remember when you swore at us and we had to take you out of delay because you were furious at us for no reason, Sam?
You're yelling at us for no reason?
There's a reason because you guys don't believe in me. You always knock me down like anybody else in your show.
But don't we also pump you up? Don't we also give you the platform to fail?
Well, whatever you guys do is what you want to do. Whatever I want to do, you never let me do. That's the problem.
Well, it's not
kind of their show.
It's not your show, first of all. And second of all, it's not your show.
It is not my show, but when I want to do a show about my idea, that's what you are knocking me down. You always want to use me as you want to use me.
Right.
Nope. That doesn't work that way.
It works for us, though.
Yeah, it works for you guys, but the listeners, all right, let me... my fans are getting mad at you.
I know they are. All the listeners
don't want to listen to you guys anymore.
I know. They're very upset at us because we won't let you do whatever you want.
Yeah, they're turning that off.
Sam,
right?
Let me ask you a question because I get beat up pretty good on the show, and I deserve it. Bean gets beat up pretty bad. I mean, everybody gets mocked pretty heartlessly.
We do.
Why are you above that?
Well, the reason is all my fans, they call me, and then they don't want to listen to you guys no more, and I'm fed up with it.
He's got a script.
But aren't we the only radio station that's giving you airtime? Who are they going to listen to for Sam, the Armenian comedian, if they're not listening to the Kevin and Bean Show?
They don't want me because they say it's your product. They don't want me. You know, Adam Carolla could use me.
Fantastic.
Why he is not using me?
Fantastic.
Because he's heard you. Because he's smarter than we are. He's not as desperate as we are for entertainment. That's why.
He makes better decisions.
All right, Sam, let me ask you one more question on this, and then we want to move on to your invention, which I think is what you want to talk about. The way you're describing it, it sounds like if you were, let's say you were Russell Martin, okay? You're the catcher for the Dodgers. It sounds like you would be throwing an enormous tantrum because you want to be the pitcher. And you're pissed at the L.A. Dodgers because they're not letting you pitch because you're the catcher. That's what it sounds like you're doing to us. You're saying that the role that we've chosen for you is not acceptable to you because you want to do something else.
Yeah. The reason is you're not letting me do what I want to do is, for instance, now this machine, let's talk about this machine. It sounds like me, I have the whole world in my palm. Okay?
So to speak. All right, so...
The reason is I'm trying to help my fellow man ship. And now they have these enhancements and voodoo disappearance and all that. I invented something that it will cure all these problems.
Okay, what's...
Which is a machine that it evaporates and then it touches to your private parts. And why women have a lot of toys and men doesn't even have one toy.
So it's a vibrator for men is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
What do you mean it evaporates? I didn't understand how it works.
It vibrates. He said vibrates.
Oh, vibrates. I'm sorry.
Sam. What?
Okay. But it vibrates and you put it on your private parts and that just feels really good. That's what you're suggesting.
God. Oh. Can't say that.
Wow. I can't say that.
Thank
Sam.
You, Sam.
Can't say that.
We still have rules and the FCC is not keen on letting you say whatever you want either, Sam.
I didn't say anything else. Did I say any bad words?
Yes.
No, but we can't use that description for sex. All right, Sam, let me ask you this. This is something that you've actually invented, something that you actually made. What did you use to make it? What's involved in the device?
Okay, I'm going to implant a special machine that looks like a vibrator. It vibrates like a massage.
You're going to implant
that? But it's going to look like something that in... Or also arouses a person that when he grabs, what is,
But is it a vibrator with a hole in it? Is that what you're talking about?
No. It's like a massage vibrator machine that you just arouse around the tolerated, you know what I mean?
Nope.
And then
I don't know how that's different than a million other things that are already available that have already been patented and are already being sold, though.
Yeah, but those are another idea. This is my idea.
Right.
Okay.
But he's got a point, Bean. He's got a point.
The way you've described it, it sounds like a product that already exists. What did you do to make it different?
Well, what I do is I just arouse with it. I want you to, on the air, by talking, you know, it's nonsense. I want to use one of your staff, like Psycho Mike, or whoever wants to be
staff.
Volunteer next week or month, we can...
You can have Psycho Mike. That'll be fine.
Yeah, we can demonstrate it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, love to have that happen.
All right, listen, Sam, we're almost out of time. What about Monday? We're doing a live show on Monday from Hollywood. We're doing a Cinco de Drinko show. Yeah. Would you like to come down and demonstrate it there?
Well, in front of people?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. I'm going to use Mike then.
Mike won't be there.
Yeah?
No.
Mike won't be there on Monday, but surely you can demonstrate us and show us how it works.
Okay.
All right.
Sure. Okay, so we're going to be at the El Guapo Cantina.
But I need about 5 girls surrounding me.
Yeah, sure. Of course you do.
To well, do what?
I don't can get excited that. With 5 girls around me. I don't need your machine. What's the point of that?
I think I'm with Sam. I think you've been treating him poorly, Bean.
El Guapo Cantina is where we're going to be Monday, folks. Everybody can come on down, 21 and up. It's free to get in. Doors open at 6 o'clock. And we'd like to add you to the list of entertainment for that day if you'll bring down your mysterious and magical machine, Sam.
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
Are we cool? Is everything good?
Everything is fine.
You seem rather angry.
I just want to have a breakfast with my band.
That's going to happen very soon. We're working on it right now.
Okay.
All right, Sam.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you
believing in me.
We don't believe
all these years.
Okay. Thank you, Sam.
Bye-bye, Sam.
All right.
All right. So we can check that off. We got something to look forward to for Monday then.
Turning him away?
Yes, we do.
No handlebars. No handlebars.
You know, we don't say enough here at the Kevin and Bean Show is thank you for listening, seriously, because Sustainable Dave, check. Armenian comedian,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Check. Handlebar song.
Yeah.
Yeah! It's the 1-2-3 punch.
And I think there are still people there. So no. Thank you. That's a
shocking, no.
We're doing our best to run
no
you off.
No way.
So if you're still around, thank you. That's the, pretty cool.
You do need to start really looking very closely at the choices you make, though, in your life. Although, if you do stick with us, it'll be worth it because our friend John Favreau joins us after the news at 8 o'clock to talk all things Iron Man. He is the genius behind the new Iron Man film that opens up tomorrow. So we're very, very excited to get into that. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat at 7:55.
I can't wait to talk about that film because I saw it this week.
Yeah.
And I try not to talk too much about the movies because we do the break on Fridays about the movie beat.
Yeah. Right.
But... Oh, I'll wait for John. Right. I'm just telling you, I have so many things to say about this film.
Right.
So I'm glad to get it out of my system early because I've been bursting.
Can I go to breakfast?
Monday night.
Can I go to breakfast?
That'd be great.
Okay.
Would you? Would you? And pick me up something while you're out.
I'd love that.
We don't want a John Favreau disaster.
We do not.
How dare you?
That's a great point.
How dare you?
Because Kevin will not know who he is, will not recognize him, right. Will not know any of the movies that he's been in, and like, will have never heard of Iron Man. Why are you doing a Black Sabbath movie? He's going to ask all kinds of questions. Won't make any sense.
Yeah.
Today's the day, people. Circle your calendars. Make sure, I don't know what you're doing, whether you're working or going to school, but whatever it is, cancel it.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Find out when they're airing Divorce Court here in the Southern California area. I'm
yes.
Not sure when it is. Do we have we nailed down a time in the channel yet?
On our machines, on the Dish Network.
I think it's KCAL, right?
Don't
know. Channel 9?
Hey, Dave, come in here. Dave's the king. I don't know. I think it's Channel 9, and I think it's 10 a.m.,
What time is Divorce Court here locally, Dave?
10 a.m. But the Gary Coleman one's going to be 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
10 a.m.
Channel 9?
On KCAL, right? Channel 9.
Good work.
I want to say Fox or my network, Channel 13.
All right, good.
So you want to say one of three channels.
It's either 9,
listen,
11, or 13.
9, 11, or 13.
It's Channel 13.
It's Channel 13.
Channel 13 okay. At 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
See? My network. I said it.
All right,
all right,
get out.
All right. The reason I say you must watch is because today is the first of two parts of the Gary Coleman Divorce Court.
Come on.
Wow.
40-year-old Different Strokes star Gary Coleman and his 22-year-old model wife, Shannon Price.
Oh, those blacks.
Will appear before Judge Lynn Toler and hash out their beefs, as the kids say.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a real... They want to get divorced for real, but
they're
doing
really
it on Divorce Court.
Yes.
Okay.
Apparently she complains he plays by himself with his trains too much.
Really?
Choo-choo trains.
She didn't see that coming.
No.
Okay.
How could you guess that? As far as we know, they still have not consummated the marriage.
He has said...
Oh,
maybe
no.
They should appear on annulment court instead.
He has said steadfastly that he's never had sex, that he's a virgin.
And he has no interest.
You think they go on a show like this, Ralph, just because it's cheaper than going through regular Divorce Court?
No, I think he needs to be in the spotlight.
He needs the publicity.
He has to have.
I think he's desperate for attention.
Yeah.
You guys catch American Idol last night?
No.
No.
I don't watch.
Natasha Bedingfield, first of all.
Yum.
Yeah.
She's pretty hot.
Yum.
And talented.
I've never seen her before.
I don't watch karaoke without alcohol. That's my rule.
Well, then you missed Neil Diamond.
Yes, I did.
Rocking out.
Happy to miss Neil Diamond.
Rocking with his acoustic guitar. Just went nuts. Yeah, and then they voted off Brooke White. Sadly, Brooke had to go.
Yeah, I don't care.
It's funny to watch somebody melt down on that show. Someone who was doing pretty well, staying strong, and then just, I think the pressure just cracked her.
What do you mean meltdown? What'd she do?
She stopped. She's done a few times now. She'll start singing a song and turn to the band and say, I'm sorry, can we start again?
I mean, really?
Just stop her song and start over
And she's
again.
In the final what?
Five. She's
five.
The last five.
Wow.
And she did it again last night when they say you can sing, you can say goodbye, you know, your last song.
Right.
Forgot the words then, had to stop and start again. So.
Excellent.
Good that she
They left. Made a good choice then.
I think they did. And speaking of reality television, Tatiana Ali
Oh!
is lobbying for a shot on Dancing with the Stars.
Now, this is not the boxer? This is not Layla Ali?
It's not Layla Ali. It's not Muhammad's daughter. This is Tatiana Ali, who was on
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah. Played his cousin Ashley.
Yes.
Yeah, she's smoking hot.
She's hot.
She is currently lobbying for a position on the next season of Dancing with the Stars because she thinks she'd be good at it. She thinks it would be totally fun, she says, and she would come out totally buff. Oh, Psycho Mike's never been more in love.
That would be
cool. Girl
who
wants to be totally buff.
She was at the Harold and Kumar premiere. She's still
looks good,
way,
doesn't she?
Way hot. Way hot.
And she's about the right caliber of star power, too, for that program.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd be happy to have
someone you've sort of heard of, and with about a minute of exposition, you can remember who she is. That's right. What they look for in that show.
And everyone's talking about the fact that Coachella last weekend, Shia LaBeouf was in attendance for a star of the upcoming Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull film. And everyone was also talking about the fact that he fell asleep right in the middle of the festival, despite all the music blaring around him.
Excellent.
I think he was in the King of Mexico tent. Mm. That's where he was sleeping.
This is a mess.
That's tough to do, sleep in the middle of Coachella.
Yeah,
a lot of talking, a lot of singing.
People seem to do it a lot, though. You seem scattered all over the grass.
Well, I guess for a 3-day concert, yeah. You're going to have to just crash eventually. Right?
So. Stay up all night, and then they're asleep. You can walk over them, you can kick them. Doesn't make any difference. They're still just sleeping.
Hope you had a good time.
Here's a new smoke outside, did he? I hope. I mean, that's my fear with Shia. You know how he is.
Go right to prison again.
Yeah.
Here's a new relationship. In Touch magazine is talking about the fact that Amber Tamblyn has a new man. Remember Amber Tamblyn?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
She used to talk to God all the time, that chick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Her new boyfriend? David Cross from Arrested Development. 44-year-old David Cross.
That's an odd odd coupling.
Yeah.
But he's good for him.
Pretty smart, funny dude.
Yes, he is.
And she seems to be pretty smart and funny. She's just hotter than him.
Way.
Yeah.
Does she have a chin now?
Chicken pot pie.
Did she grow a chin, or is it still...
How dare you?
It's a little receding.
She's a very
She's got a receding
woman.
Chin?
Yes, a little bit.
She's losing chin as she goes along?
That's what they call it. It's a receding chin.
I was thinking like receding hairline. You get older, your hair
Man, I have less chin than I had last year.
Oh, look at my chin. Oh, I'm losing so much chin. I need some Rogaine for my chin. I have a receding chin line.
Didn't realize that was a possibility, but okay.
Yeah. And this Rob Lowe thing's just getting uglier. TMZ.com talks about the fact that a second nanny has come forward and also complained about working for the Lowe's. Only this time, Laura Boyce is not accusing Rob of the sexual misdeeds. This time, it's his wife, Cheryl.
Oh.
In a complaint, which was filed with the L.A. County Superior Court, Laura Boyce says, among other things, that Cheryl used to walk around naked, exposing herself to her.
Yeah, and? What's the...
That Cheryl would constantly ask about the size of Laura's boyfriend's penis. He's a former NBA player, about 7 feet tall, so she was curious about the size of his unit.
And the answer was?
Big, I guess.
Come on.
She would often use her forearm to gesture as to the size of Laura's boyfriend's penis.
Sure. There's that.
And one time when Laura called in to say she wasn't coming to work because she was sick, Cheryl allegedly screamed, "You've got strep throat from sucking Andy."
Oh, wow. His name is Andy?
And she corrected herself and said, "I mean... Black D."
Oh, good.
So she caught
that
herself.
That last one may have crossed the line, but Lisa's right. You're allowed to have a fascination with a 7-foot tall guy. It's worth asking. Yeah, you could ask. It's
I
got to
admit,
deal.
She sounds like a classy chick.
She sounds like a good time is what she sounds like.
That whole family seems cool.
Yeah,
I want a job there.
I want a party with the Lowe's. And they got a hell of a hardware store, too. Have you ever gone by Lowe's there? They got good stuff
the same,
and good bargains.
Not the same
You
people.
Can get a washer dryer.
Right, but it isn't the same.
Low, low cost is what I'm saying.
Rob Lowe does not
And a
that.
Wide collection of wood screws.
That's fine.
You can get the 3-inch.
Yeah.
You can get the finishing nails.
That's the kind of talk they got in trouble for.
That's
stop
right.
That.
Can you get the 14-inch, though? That's the question.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Darius McCrary from Family Matters is 32
yeah,
years old.
Yeah, Eddie
today.
Winslow. What?
Wow. He still makes a list?
That was just for Psycho Mike.
Right.
Darcy from Smashing Pumpkins is 40. Tim McGraw, you know him as a country singer, husband to Faith Hill, of course, and also the son of a legendary pitcher, Tug McGraw. Oh, I miss the Tugger. He passed away not too long ago.
That's what she said?
And he didn't know that they were related until the final couple of years of Tug's life, right,
Ralph?
Was that the story? That's right. 41 years old today, and Ray Parker Jr., of course, gave us Ghostbusters, gave us
Ghostbusters.
The Other Woman, Jack and Jill.
That Ghostbusters song.
Woman Needs Love. A lot of big hits for Ray.
Of course, yeah.
Bean knows them all.
Yes.
I've never heard of any of those.
No one has. Lisa.
He gave other songs, not a lot of big hits. Stop. Yes. A lot of big hits,
He had a number of big hits.
He had a lot of big hits.
I was just recently reading an autobiography of Ray Parker Jr. on the way to the Ray Parker Jr. concert. I finished it on the way back.
Any other details?
Right. How about we make way for Mr. Favreau after the news?
That's
how about
a great idea.
Make way for Favreau, one of my favorite sitcoms from the 70s.
That is a good one.
Very, very entertaining. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hi, this is John Favreau. This is just a drop. I said we go to his Trofdorf bar in Red Hook and we just drop off the bag like we said and get on the plane and go home.
The Daredevil.
Why you read that trash? Hearing stories about this guy for years, there's got to be something to it. Like the alligators in the sewers. Don't ride my ass about the alligators. I got a friend in sanitation, okay? He's seen them.
Your money. 213-555-4679. Sounded like your machine might have cut me off. My number is 21.
Leave a message.
213-555-4679. That's it. Just want to leave my number. I didn't want to think I was weird or desperate. And I'd just rather speak to you in person instead of trying to fit it all into the...
He is actor, writer, and director of Iron Man, the hotly anticipated summer hit that will be released tomorrow. And he joins us in the studio of the world-famous K-Rock right now. Also, the blurriest Wikipedia photo and IMDb photos I've ever seen in my life. John Favreau has joined us.
Thank you.
I don't know if you've checked out your IMDb photo lately, but it couldn't be taken from further away or blurrier, John.
Oh, good.
That's what you want. I'm going to make a prediction. John Favreau will be dead by noon, and everybody should say their goodbyes.
Yeah.
Because he's
run out of steam.
A little tired.
Well, you've got the sort of memorial clip reel there heard. People will think I passed away when they hear that moment of silence.
That
was an awesome.
We didn't use PCU, but we could put that in.
You could do the blow me where the Pampers is, and then you got everybody.
Did we hit Rudy? Did we get Rudy in there? Was that
No, I didn't get Rudy. It was incomplete. So,
John, why aren't you doing any promotion for Iron Man? Why is it you just put it out there and just let it live on its own without saying a good word for it?
They had to pour me into the car this morning because I just went, you know, I've been working on this movie for 2 years as a director, and then you're ready to.
2 years?
Yeah, 2 years. I was hired 2 years ago, pretty much to the day.
Boy, you hate this movie.
And then I've seen this it point. Enough, but you know what's cool is now I get to see it with people. And
right.
People are going bananas for it.
But tell us the last 3 weeks of your life.
The last 3 weeks have been, I've been going with Downey on his, you know, on the world tour. So we went from L.A. to New York the long way.
What's the long way?
The long way's through Sydney and Seoul.
And, you go to Korea?
And here I went to Korea, man. I've never been to Korea. And I have a fear of flying. Well, not anymore.
Excellent.
I'm over that now.
Yeah, no kidding.
I have a fear of not sleeping now. That's my fear.
Yeah. But you go to Australia, you go to South Korea.
South Korea, Paris, Berlin, Rome, London, New York, and then a press junket in New York.
Wow.
And Mexico City, that was the real fun one. Have you ever? Anybody ever been to Mexico City?
No,
it's been a long time. You feel like they show up with three Suburbans with guys who look like they can handle anything.
Really,
armored Suburbans.
They make sure that nothing messes with that. That's called hospitality.
All right,
and they're nice. It's a nice city, and people are great. Hotels are beautiful.
They just killed their country singers there.
But you could tell that they want to make sure that you feel comfortable.
Right,
know?
Sure. Yeah.
So that was interesting. And then, you know, it's just you see all these places. And I'm in my 40s. You know, I've been around the world before for swingers and stuff, but I've never been to these. I've never seen what I saw on this trip.
And is the deal, John, that a movie like Iron Man will make more money overseas than it will make in the United States, no matter how big a hit it is, right? So it's important to prime the pump in those countries, right?
Well, especially with the dollar, you know, weak. You go around there. It used to be you took an American dollar and people's eyes light up. And now you feel like you're playing Monopoly.
Honestly, this is worth a little bit back home.
It's like pesos now. You know,
truly. But, you know, it's it all evens out because they'll, you know, they they're always foreign's been important for an action flick, and then with the euros being worth, you know, whatever it is, twice as much as what ours is worth. It's all very good. But the bottom line is, after the last movie I did, Zathura, that just from the premiere, more people have seen this movie than that one. So I'm already in the black on this one.
Now, I saw Robert Downey Jr. on the TV the other day. He's been doing his share of getting out there and, you know, pumping up the film. And he was talking about how he always wanted to be one of those guys who got asked to be the superhero. And all of his friends were doing it, and he wanted his. Were you the same way? Has this been the kind of movie that you've kind of been working your whole career toward directing a film like this?
I guess so. You know, looking back, it definitely seems that way because it has, like, the humor and the improv that, you know, came from, like, Swingers and Maid. And then all the physical sort of laughs and... And then the special effects from Elf and Zathura. And then I was in, as you played the clip, in Daredevil. And so it was very exciting just to be in Daredevil and to see the artwork and be a part of that thing. And it all sort of culminates in this. And these actors are fantastic. We're getting really good write-ups.
Did you ever fear, 2 years ago, did you ever fear this project is a really big project and I'm not sure I can get through it?
No, I knew I could. You know, the truth be told, the bar is so low on these movies. People will come out and see them, even if they're crap. You know,
the truth is, most comic book movies are bad. They don't turn out.
That's true.
So it's always like I like to surprise people and do it better. And then if you fail, at least you're doing your job. But you could aspire for something greater. And just with casting Robert, as soon as that happened and he was approved, which was, you know, that was no mean feat in itself.
Right.
But that was the biggest challenge, and that was over a year ago. And everything else has been tough logistically, but I knew we had something really cool and special because that guy he never phones it in.
I am not a hardcore comic book movie fan, but he sealed the deal for me. As soon as I saw him, I thought, he's an Iron Man. I'm going.
That's what I was.
Because he could pull it off.
I was trying to sell them on that. This is Marvel Studios' first movie, and they gave me a lot of freedom. It's not a lot of people running the show there, and they really care about the projects. And they've seen a lot of people make a lot of money on their material and they're getting a little piece of it. Mm. And I think it was very smart of them to do that. And they trusted me with their first flick. But Robert Downey's not necessarily the guy that you want being the poster boy for your new your new studio. It's you know, he represents a lot, and there might have been backlash. But I said, look, you got to send the message. Remember when they cast Johnny Depp in Pirates?
Yes.
I mean, I didn't want to say,
are you insane? You know, it's crazy. Johnny Depp, he's not a big action star.
No. But there was, like, I didn't care about that pirate movie. I was like, are you guys running out of ideas? A ride? You're making a movie about a ride?
Right. Yeah. Yes.
I like the ride, but I don't need to see a movie.
Right.
About it, you know?
Sure.
And then Johnny Depp comes on, and all of a sudden you're starting to think, wow, if this gives
him some weight.
Well, if it's not just a payday that they're walking through and they're into it, which Johnny Depp clearly was.
Right.
He gets nominated for awards. So.
Well, the thing is, John, I saw the movie this week, and for me, the gold standard for comic movies has always been Richard Donner's Superman movie. For me, that is like the quintessential perfect comic book movie in terms of matching the tone and giving you action and giving you humanity and the whole nine yards. I've never seen a comic movie until this week that I think holds a candle to that. I think Iron Man is just as good because Robert Downey Jr. is phenomenal in the role of Tony Stark, who's the guy under the suit. And for the first time in one of these comic book movies, you don't want the sort of leading period, the period that leads up to him becoming the superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Usually most of these films are like, well, you just put on the suit and go out there and fight crime. Get to it. This, the origin is as interesting, if not more so, than all the crime-fighting stuff in the rest of the film.
That's great. I mean,
top to bottom. It is just such a solid piece of filmmaking. You care so much about these people that it just makes all the special effects and everything else sort of icing on the cake, you know?
Well, thank you.
That's great. Great stuff.
John, has there been an uphill battle in some quarters to people have never heard of Iron Man? I mean, he didn't have sort of the universal understanding, acceptance that a Superman or a Spider-Man or somebody like that everybody grew up with had.
It really did. It was hard. I always knew who he was because I read the books, and I wouldn't say I'm a comic. It takes a lot to say you're a comic book fan right now, but I definitely knew who he was, and I knew what, you know, but most people thought, you know, only about the Ozzy song when they thought of Iron Man triathlon. So what we did was we definitely stayed in contact with the core fan base. And I brought some footage to Comic-Con a year ago, and they know for sure who Iron Man is.
Right.
He's like one of the original pantheons. He's been around for 40 years with Marvel and has come to represent a lot in the Civil War series. So I knew if I got them on board, you know, they're a very vocal part of the grassroots support of any movie. Everybody goes to Comic-Con.
Right.
And we showed about 6 minutes of footage, and some of it got bootlegged online, and people really went crazy for it. And that's when it started. And now, somehow, it's on everybody's consciousness a year later. So I think that vocal community in liking it, it's just sort of percolated up to the mainstream. And that's the phenomenon now.
Yeah, I didn't know much about this. I didn't know much about it. I didn't really know anything about Iron Man before this whole push, but I can't wait to, you know, see the movie.
I just think it's a shame that, so much depends now on the preconceived notions about material before the movie's even released. Because when you think about it, nobody knew who the hell Indiana Jones was before Raiders came out. But that movie's so brilliant that people automatically got attracted
to it. It's different now. I just got slaughtered last time around. I mean, we just got destroyed at the box office, and we had a good movie. That's Zathura was
the
best rated film.
I saw that. That was really good.
You know, critically and everything, it really was strong, but it just got crushed because people are like, we were like between, I think, Chicken Little and Narnia. And when you have a big marketing powerhouse behind a movie, you really know whether you're being supported or not. And if you're not, you don't got a shot. Mm-hmm. And these comic book movies somehow have that interest, and they cut through, and you have a poster or a billboard of a dude with his hand up blasting a repulsor ray, it sticks in people's heads.
Yeah, that's true. Stupid Ralph's had the little action figure for about 3 weeks now. He's driving me crazy with
it. Hasbro figure all day long.
They did a nice job on those toys.
They're awesome. It looks exactly like the suit.
It's really good.
Easy, both of you.
That's how they make most of their money, by the way. They made more money on those Hulk hands than the movie. You know, that's the dirty little secret.
John Favreau is here. He is the director of Iron Man, which opens tomorrow, and we'll take a quick break and come.
John Favreau is here. Iron Man opens up tomorrow. John, when you're directing a movie like this and you've got, this kind of budget and this kind of cast and you got to keep everything straight in your head, do you just feel the weight of the world on your shoulders? Is it so much pressure heading down to the shoot every day?
Honestly, they dug me. And even though they're more experienced as actors than I am as a director, I think they dug that I was an actor. And I definitely gave them a lot of room to do their thing.
That helps a lot,
it does
help.
They have different processes, though. And these movies don't have scripts in the way that normal movies do. So there's a lot of flexibility. And certain people like Robert love to just tear it up. And Gwyneth is comfortable with anything. She's a real pro. What was that?
Bell or something? Because he loves Gwyneth.
She's so awesome.
Hot. He loves her.
She looks sexier in this movie than she ever has in any film before.
And this is her too. This is like more like what she's like. I know her for many
years
now.
You can't help but fall in love with her. When you see this movie.
She's awesome. And what we learned too, going to Europe, is we would do press all day. She would show up on the red carpet in some short dress, and her like 7-inch stiletto heels would make the front page of every paper, and nobody would care anything about what we're talking about. She is like Princess Grace, man.
Dress she wore to the London premiere, not that I paid too much attention to it, but oh my God. Oh my God.
Dude, you know what I'm saying? She's great.
Okay, so you're talking about the actors and the way they do it. Why do these movies not have scripts? Because it seems like that's the biggest problem with these kind of movies is great special effects, but the story sucks.
They just it's not that they don't have scripts. They do, and this is all of them. This is from everybody I've talked to who's worked on any of these, because it was so scary. I come from a place where you start with the script, like Swingers. I wrote the script, and then we got the movie made.
Hone it, right?
Here you start with a date, and you got to get that date, and then you got to get the effects ready, and so now you're planning the set pieces with a loose story. It's just the nature of how long things take.
It has to be loose because of that.
And then you know exactly what the action sequences are going to be, because those take so long to do with CGI and storyboards and animatics.
So that's sort of what you do instead of a script, is basically plot out
concurrently,
all of that.
Concurrently. But those are the things.
Building a building instead of making a movie, really.
It really is. And so much changes. You know, nothing could change in the action sequences, or very little, because it's very tough to steer that barge. So you're working with the script right up till the very end, whereas the action stuff really can't change that much, at least not without a lot of time or money. And we didn't have either of those.
Is that why some of these type of movies fall apart? Is because the director can't keep it all straight? Where is it all? Is it all in your head?
I think it's easy to take credit for it as a director, but you definitely I think the blame or the credit should always go to the person who's responsible for keeping all the people together and everybody on track.
And that's the director?
In this movie, the director has to keep in mind all the special effects and also the story and the actors. But I come from, and you see the good superhero movies tend to come from people who've made small films with not a lot of resources, like Chris Nolan, Peter Jackson, Sam Raimi.
True.
Exactly. Bryan Singer. These are all independent filmmakers who understand story and are used to doing it with not a lot of resources.
Good point.
So you stick us in this situation, we just have to learn about the effects. But really, you got to keep the story on track. Otherwise, you got nothing. You got a big video game.
Let me ask you about two other people in the movie. And you've mentioned your tremendous cast, by the way. Jeff Bridges and Gwyneth Paltrow and Terrence Howard. Let me ask you about two other folks. Stan Lee?
making his traditional Marvel cameo this time around?
I don't know if it's traditional.
Not traditional, but he shows up.
I think you guys will like what he does in this one.
Is he a woman?
It's very funny.
Yeah. It's
okay.
Does he show up as a woman?
No, but I think you guys will dig it. I don't want to blow it for you or the fans, but it's definitely, I definitely got my the traditional Stanley in there.
Awesome. Did you ever talk to him, by the way, as an aside, about creating Iron Man, about what that was like for him?
I did briefly.
Did he have any story about that?
He spoke to Robert more. Robert took him out to lunch. I had my moment with him on Daredevil, where I gave him Daredevil number one to sign for me on the set, and that was really cool. And I heard he liked me in it. He said the guy who played Foggy was really good, but he's awesome, you know. But the thing was, by the time he made Iron Man, he was ready to see how unlikable of a guy he could make Tony Stark and still have the audience like him, because he had already had the success of Spider-Man and everything.
Right.
And so he made a guy who was an arms dealer during Vietnam. And he was going to Southeast Asia, and he gets captured by the Viet Cong. So it was pretty controversial then.
Was he sort of based on Howard Hughes, or is that just a legend?
That's what he says, yeah. Interesting. You know, sort of the bachelor and playboy and extravagant genius, eccentric billionaire. And so there's a lot of that in there. There's a lot of James Bond. And then, of course, there's a lot of Robert Downey Jr.
Of course, yeah. All right, and actor number two, a young up-and-coming performer named Jon Favreau, I think, makes an appearance in the movie. Yes. Makes quite an impact. Apparently,
couldn't
a lot
resist.
Of people are looking
couldn't
at
resist,
him.
Couldn't resist, could you, Favreau? Resist.
Here's the deal.
Couldn't throw a bone to some young actor someplace. No, you got to play Hogan. You got to play Happy Hogan.
You got to have it all.
My part could have been just, just some day player, but because I don't really have a lot to do. It is a little bit distracting. But for the fans, I wanted to acknowledge that Happy Hogan was somebody we took seriously.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'll jump in. I'll do it. Because I'm no idiot. I know that I'm going to have love scenes with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Well, that's...
I marry her later, and she doesn't know
number
this.
Number three, you're going to be all over.
We're both married, you know? Yeah. This is all we have.
That's why, that's why you're smart. That's why you use your power for evil, and I like that. I like that about you.
So after 2 years of navigating the SS Iron Man, your next movie is going to be three guys sitting around a table talking and playing cards,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, back to swingers again.
Yeah.
Give me $200,000, and I'll make you... movie
maybe even not that. Maybe just Dinner for Five. That may be all you do now on.
It's true. Yeah. Hey, if we do sequels, it might be all I have to do.
I've seen you on TV eating a lot. I really have. I've seen a lot of eating.
You see me come up and down. Go on IMDb. You'll see all the different phases of weights that you'll ever see with anybody. So, and I'm back from Europe. It was tough. I lost a lot of weight on Iron Man.
You look thin in the movie. Yeah.
Thank you.
You look good right now.
And then I ate my way through Europe, and now I'm back to the Southern California lifestyle.
Back and happy. Yeah, now, does this one end so that there's a sequel, I'm sure?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, I imagine it does.
Oddly, Downey's character dies. I haven't seen it. Very sad.
The number twos are usually better than the number one.
That's true.
Spider-Man 2, X-Men 2.
Usually you sit through the first one and you say, okay, they had to do this to set up the character. Now we can get to the good stuff in the next one. But I'm telling you, I repeat again, this film, the origin stuff and the thing that Downey does with the character all throughout makes it so much more of an entertaining film than the average one of these comic book movies. Really does.
I would like to suggest that if you're talking people into going to see the first one tomorrow, maybe the second ones are always better isn't where you want to go. maybe you should say this first one is worth it.
And also, we were talking a little bit off the air, but the CGI effects, which I'm not a fan of. Because,
The rash. No, that's something else.
The CGI effects in this are the best I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you.
No kidding.
Because, and I think John was talking about this earlier, because Iron Man is made of metal, it's a metal suit, it's so much easier to buy into. It looks absolutely real versus trying to replicate a human being or
make
it look alive.
That's so true. Versus the Hulk.
Yeah, well, it's very hard to make that stuff look real.
Yeah.
Anything, the closer you get to the human form, the more your mind tells you that's fake. But after seeing what these guys at ILM did with Transformers, I was really...
Which was great.
We actually got more ambitious after we saw Transformers, because that worked. I mean, as far as the CGI and the action.
Yep.
And that's when we realized we could really have more fun with this, because these guys at ILM could make it interesting. And Transformers, I could watch that car turn into a robot all day, and back and forth and back and forth.
But these scenes will blow your mind when you see these the armor in action. It's really,
I can't wait.
It's ridiculous.
Well, everyone will have their chance to see Iron Man tomorrow, and the early reviews have been fantastic, and our listeners who went to our screening, John, are already loving it, so it looks like you got a home run.
Thanks for being so supportive, too, and there's going to be a lot of diehard fans out there tonight. That's who I want to see it with. People who are lining up for midnight.
Yeah.
I want to see some costumes, man. I work really hard for you guys. I want to see you dress up.
Show up in a costume,
I want to see you scream.
Get some sleep, John. Have a great summer. We'll see you soon, dude.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
I'm going to be honest. We failed you in the 7 o'clock hour today. We were a disaster from minute one. But I think we've redeemed ourselves nicely for folks who are listening in the 8 o'clock hour, because we just spent a half hour with director John Favreau talking about the great Iron Man movie that opens up tomorrow. And now we're going to introduce you to our new Lord and Savior. Mr. Ed Roskey Jr. is on the phone with us right now. He is the man who's going to make our dreams come true if he has his way and get an NFL franchise back to Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God. That would be great.
All right. Sounds great.
Good morning, Mr. Roskey. Thanks so much
for
joining us.
How you doing?
You are a way, way rich guy, but beyond that, you've got the connections and the ideas to maybe make this thing happen for real, right?
Well, you know, we've been working on it for long enough, and I think we put it, you know, together the right way this time, and we're hopefully going to get the team here pretty quick.
Now, I've read a lot of stories about the NFL and coming to Southern California, and it seems like there has been that most of the problem, at least the way I read it, is that there's been squabbling over where they would play. The Coliseum claims they have rights. They fight. No one can agree, so everybody just goes their own separate ways. Is that accurate?
It's close, but, you know, they've always said that when they come back to Southern California, they want to do it right, and they want to have the facility. It's very important for them to if they're going to do it and they do it here again, they just want to do it right. So, as you know, I worked for years, with them, on the Coliseum, and we could just never put everything together there. So,
Mr. Roskey, let me back up one step. When the Rams and the Raiders left, which was what, in the mid-90s?
95,
I guess? Okay. Was that for the same complaint that those teams were not satisfied with the facilities that they were playing in?
That's basically what it got to. Of course, the Rams left first because they couldn't get what they needed at the Coliseum, and they went down to Anaheim and substituted playing in a baseball stadium for a while, and it just didn't work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the Raiders came in and they tried to work it there, and it just didn't work. And so they left us and went back up to Oakland. So.
But why is it you need such an elaborate, expensive stadium to play football in? Why can't you just play it at a place like the Coliseum, which clearly is fine for college football every Saturday?
Yeah, well, we thought so ourselves, and worked hard at that. But it just doesn't have the revenue streams it takes to be a successful team in the NFL. You need the suites and the club seats and all the things and the naming rights and all the sponsorships and things like that make these things work today.
The one thing that I could never figure out is, as soon as both teams left Southern California, I thought, such a big city, such a big TV market, how is it not a priority to get a team back here? And it seems like it's the opposite of a priority for the NFL. They don't care.
It's the top of their list.
Is it?
Yeah, they definitely want to get a team in Los Angeles. I mean, if you were in, it's a business, and if you're in business in the United States, you're going to need to be in the Southern California area.
But if you want a football team here, they've had 13 years now since the team have left. Why?
But they never could put it together, or we never could, let me put it that way. We never could put it together with having the right location, having the cost of being able to do it, and having the certainty of doing a stadium. Going through these projects is takes a lot of time, and you need the right piece of property that services all of Southern California, and you need the right cost factors,
and all the
stars have to align.
And you have all that. A location. You're going to build a stadium from scratch. You're not going to use any taxpayer money.
Right. All right. Got it.
Where is it going to be?
Well, it's going to be out at the interchange of the 60 and 57 freeway. It's on the border of Orange County, Los Angeles, San Bernardino, and Riverside counties. So, there's 12 million people within a 25-mile radius. The only other stadium in the whole league that has any population like that would be, of course, back in New York.
Right.
And again, that's two teams, and it's not in New York.
Right.
It's actually in New
that's
Jersey.
Right. Yeah.
So tell me why it is, Mr. Roskey, and if you're just joining us, Ed Roskey's on the line. We're talking about maybe bringing an NFL franchise to Southern California again, finally. Tell me why it is that you're only interested in an existing team moving to L.A. rather than accepting a startup franchise.
Well, the NFL has made it very clear that they're not going to expand.
They're done. Okay.
They're done expanding. There's only 32 teams, so unfortunately, that means probably a team will have to move from some other place.
Now, let me ask
And wouldn't that be excuse me, Kevin, I'm sorry. Yeah. Wouldn't that be super, super attractive, though, for one of these teams in a much smaller market like a Nashville or a Charlotte or something like that?
Well,
think that they jump at the opportunity.
Some of them have contracts at their existing location. So, you know, there's five or six teams that don't have stadium contracts that have the potential to move.
But you're building this from the ground up, and you're going to finish it, and you don't know that you can get a team yet.
No, we didn't say that.
Oh, you do.
We're going to get a team first, okay?
Okay.
What we're doing is doing all the physical side of the deal, making sure that it's a certainty. No team is going to announce that they're going to move from a city until they're certain that they have a location.
They have a place to go. Sure.
Right. Okay. And that's what happened to the Raiders. They announced that they were moving to Los Angeles, and they came to Los Angeles with the expectation of redoing the Coliseum, and it just didn't work.
Right.
So they left. So.
So are there meetings going on a fairly regular basis toward this end? Is this something that you believe is now in motion and is likely to happen, or is it still kind of just we're all keeping our fingers crossed and wishing?
No, I think this one you can pretty much bet on.
Really?
If you read on, you know, what the NFL is saying and et cetera, that, you know, this the location and the facility and the cost and the certainty of doing it, you know, meets all of their criteria, all their desires, so... You know, they pretty much have a green light to go forward.
Wow. When could you, where would you guess, you know, that you could reasonably get a team here? I mean, were we talking 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah, we're shooting for 2011.
2011.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you, when we've talked about this in the past, sir, we don't get, of course, there are some people who say, yeah, it'd be great to have a team, but it doesn't seem like there's an outrage. It doesn't seem like there's a tremendous amount of passion for millions of people to get a team out here. Do you sense that the desire is out there among Southern California sports fans?
Well, you know, We've done a lot of polling and everything like this, but in truth, getting an NFL team back to Los Angeles is really usually polls right at the top, sometimes number one.
Right.
So there's a tremendous interest in getting an NFL team back here.
Can it not be the Cowboys?
Definitely not.
Okay, good. All right.
I don't think there's much danger of the Cowboys leaving Texas.
I just wanted to check. I just wanted to make sure. Right up front.
Right.
Well, we've seen the articles and we've seen you interviewed, but it all seemed too good to be true. I mean, it seems like this is a win-win-win-win all across the board for everybody involved.
Yeah, you know, we were very fortunate to have the land to do it in the right location and have the ability to put the thing together, because that's what we do. And as you know, I did Staples Center, and
right.
It was a similar type of project. I thought you guys were going to talk about the Kings.
Oh, well, trust me. I'd love to. But I'd love to be watching them right now.
Yeah, right. So would we all.
You're a part owner of the Kings, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe push a little money their way, too, next year. Why don't you think about that?
Right. Yeah. Well, we got Luke in there now.
I think
we're going to make some changes.
I'd love to see that.
Right. We're tired of rebuilding.
Okay, good. Good. Excellent.
We're very happy to hear that. Well, listen, this has been nothing but great news. I'm so happy that we had you on to hear about this, and we'd love to stay in touch throughout the next couple of years and see where it goes.
If you guys want to, we can always name the station after you. I mean,
the stadium? Kevin Bean Stadium?
Bean, yeah, $15 million a year.
Yeah, I don't see. Well, I'm sorry, we would have to pay what?
$15, probably.
$15 million a year?
Yeah. Oh, you're breaking up, Ed. Sorry, we can't hear you anymore. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Bye now.
Mostly sunny today. Highs will be in the upper 60s to the mid 70s.
Hi.
Hungry? Got a dollar? Try a Whopper Junior sandwich,
Whopper.
Rodeo cheeseburger, spicy chicken crisp sandwich. Just $1 each. Only at Burger King. Price and participation may vary. I'm
vary.
Lisa May.
That doesn't make sense. Why do you say vary?
It doesn't work at all.
I don't even understand that.
Sorry.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
How much are they varying the price on their sandwiches, by the way, over there at Burger King? Yeah, that's $25 for the Whopper.
Prices may vary.
We told you prices may vary. I just paid $1.79 for it down on Sunset. I know. Well, prices may vary.
That's what we said.
What do you want? Good news for you fantasy movie geeks. I guess
yes.
I'm talking to myself.
You really are.
Sir Ian McKellen, who played Gandalf the Wizard in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, has returned for the two Hobbit movies. He has signed up to portray Gandalf in those films as well. The first one is due in 2010 and deal with Bilbo Baggins, The Hobbit, based on the book The Hobbit, of course, which was the prequel to the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
And the second one will come out in 2011, so you'll have back-to-back Hobbit movies.
Why are two movies required to tell this story, Ralph?
Because it's a big-ass story.
That book is 1,000 pages long.
Yeah. There are 60 years between The Hobbit and Lord of the Ring trilogy.
Okay.
60 years worth of story.
But what are they doing before The Ring?
I guess you'll have to see.
There's really not much going on.
You don't know,
man.
Yeah,
we're just sitting out here in the country, and then one day they find a ring, everything happens.
You don't know what the Hobbits were going through before the ring? What's the history of the ring? What was the ring all about before Frodo found the ring? Or whatever happened in those movies. Never really got on board with those movies.
I like those movies, but...
Couldn't you tell me what happened?
Yeah, exactly.
Of course not.
Lord of the Rings movies seem like movies that everyone enjoyed that went to see them, and then they won all the big Oscars and stuff, but I can't imagine too many people are going back and watching them again. Doesn't seem like that's the kind of film you watch over and over again years in the future.
I hear you. You know, when you start the program, as the kids call it,
the program?
AA or NA or SA, or any of your A's.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to enter into serious relationships.
For a year, right?
Right, at least.
Yeah.
Why? Is that because they think you're vulnerable or something? Or what's
they
the reason?
They don't think you're emotionally equipped and you shouldn't be distracted by romance and stuff when you should be focusing on getting your head in a place where you can stay sober.
Got it. You got to get your head in the game.
That's what I'm saying.
Is what you're saying.
You need to...
I hate myself for saying
the
that.
The game or the competition.
You need to drop down and get yourself together.
That's right. Much better.
However, most celebrities don't seem to heed that advice too readily.
I say none.
Add to that list, Kirsten Dunst.
Uh-oh. Ugly.
According to the New York Post, she has entered into a serious relationship as well, even though she is currently undergoing therapy to recover. Ryan Gosling, apparently.
Her new boyfriend. All right, look, you can't pass up Ryan. I don't care. Recovery, whatever.
Come on.
We're not blaming her. We're blaming him, Lisa.
But he's just a little Gosling. Shouldn't he wait till he's a full-blown goose?
Wow.
Wow.
You went there. Wow.
Well, that's what Gosling means. Gosling's a baby goose.
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
That is the cruelest thing you've ever said to me, Mike. That is the meanest thing you've ever said to me.
What did Mike say? I missed it.
He said that's something Bean would say.
Oh, it is.
That clearly is a Bean comment.
It is. That's Bean cheese right there.
I'm sorry. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. More celebrity romance news. Karina Smirnoff.
Oh.
Of course, manufacturer of the popular vodka. Says that, she's a dancer on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, all right.
My bad. She pre-read these stories, Ralph.
Yeah, I thought she was making vodka.
Yeah.
She says that she is still involved in a serious relationship with her boyfriend Mario Lopez from Saved by the Bell and from that show as well. There were reports that two had split, but she said, everything's going strong. For the record, I'm not moving out. Everything is great. This is funny because the two would never admit they were going out in the first place.
But they denied,
living together.
Yeah. Now they feel obligated to say that they're fine. Because rumor has it she was banging the other Mario.
Yes.
R&B Mario, who's currently on the show, who's currently her dance partner. So I guess she felt she had to set the record straight. Don't we all feel better?
Mm-hmm.
I think we do.
So they denied it until everyone stopped asking, and now they're confirming it.
Hey, we're still together.
We're really together now.
Get that stuff, mister. And interestingly... Billy Bob Thornton's son, Willie, is in the middle of a sexual crime investigation.
Is Willie he named Bob Willie Bob Thornton?
I don't know what his middle name
is. Probably okay. William.
Yeah, he's probably
you know,
Billy Jr.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to TMZ.com, the 14-year-old boy was dating a 22-year-old girl, or woman, I should say, whose boyfriend got wind of the situation and called the cops in.
On his girlfriend.
Because she's underage.
Wow.
Because he's underage. She's 22, he's 14.
Right.
And now the sex crime unit is investigating the situation, and apparently detectives have not only interviewed Willie, but also Billy Bob as well, and there may be charges pending against the 22-year-old for statutory rape.
If your girlfriend goes to a 14-year-old boy, you are not getting the job done.
Yeah. Don't call the cops, just kill yourself.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem good.
Those are your options.
And I guess the law is pretty clear. It doesn't matter whether the sex is consensual enough. If the age difference is enough and the kid's young enough, then it's automatically statutory rape.
Yep.
Yeah, that's wrong. All right.
Are you a pedophile?
Do you have any plans for the weekend?
No. Why do you ask, Ralph?
Well, if you are free on Saturday, you should go watch the Kentucky Derby at Santa Anita Racetrack.
I hear a lot of people are going to be there.
It will be a microbrew festival, Kevin, at Santa Anita Racetrack.
I hear there are people going to be singing.
We're going to have one of our microbrew festivals to celebrate Kentucky Derby Day at the infield at Santa Anita Racetrack. Of course, the Derby isn't run at Santa Anita Racetrack. Don't get me wrong.
Okay. It's in Kentucky this year,
It's in Kentucky.
That's where they're doing it?
But you get to watch it there, and you get to bet on it there, and you get to drink all the microbrews, and Dramarama will be performed.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh.
What's that song they do? It says Anything, Anything?
That's the song.
Exactly.
That's the one.
No, but I'm asking, what's the song?
Right.
Anything, Anything?
That's
you know the
name
one I'm
of
talking
it.
About? No,
anything,
no.
Anything.
What's the song that goes
Ralph's
Anything,
making
Anything?
Fun of, we do, honest to God, every time we play that song, we get emails from people saying, what's that song that goes Anything, Anything?
And you go, yes.
And we say, that's the name of it, yes.
Gates Dramarama. Excuse me, headlined the first K-Rock Acoustic Christmas, by the way. How's that for a little piece of K-Rock trivia?
I read a biography about Dramarama on my way to that show. Gates open at 11:30 a.m. Admission's only $5. You can't go wrong. Have a good time. Lightning is going to be there. Psycho Mike will be there. Lisa will be there. Omar's going to be there. Dave the King of Mexico. Alex, the whole gang.
Are we going to get a live brow down?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I heard Mike's going to be performing live for the audience.
That's awesome.
Is that due to popular demand?
No,
or
it's just Dramarama's
are you demanding the fact that you get more attention?
Dramarama's got a huge stage set up, so they need a lot of time in between their sets to like get all the pyro and everything.
Uh-huh.
So
the inflatable pig?
Fill in the gaps a little bit.
All right.
You know, a little Brandon Davis, maybe some Federlezzi, and then, of course, Brow Down. People need Brow Down.
They do. That's true. People are calling for that. Like
Razzmatazz Cartoonians in high demand.
Now Mike's got a live stage show he's doing based
on
his...
that?
Lame-ass comedy songs. Sad.
What's up? It's Dave, the King of Mexico. Come out this Saturday and celebrate El Tres de Mayo. Tres de Mayo? What the f***?
Yes.
Tres de Mayo.
Tres,
he says.
Okay.
He's freaking Mexican.
He's Mexican.
And he says Tres de Mayo. Wait,
that's why we call him the King of Mexico, because his...
Tres! He says.
He just said in my headphones, that's how I was told to say it.
Oh,
uno,
sir.
Dos, tres.
And he said celebrate.
Celebrate
the Tres de Mayo.
English or Spanish.
He's bad at all languages.
It's horrible.
The poor guy can't help it. He's Mexican.
So go hang out with the K-Rock gang if you have nothing to do on Saturday, and put all your money in Colonel John. I'm telling you right now, Colonel John.
Is that a good
really?
Race?
Good horse?
That's my horse. That's one I'm picking
for
the Derby.
I have a horse in
Vegas.
This race, too.
I'll be in Vegas this weekend, and I'm laying a lot of money on Colonel John.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know anything about Colonel John.
You have a horse in this race, too, Bean?
Butt Hash.
That's my horse.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good one.
Putting everything down on Butt Hash.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Darius McCrary.
Yeah.
Played Eddie Winslow on Family Matters. He's 32 years old today. Darcy from Smashing Pumpkins and Hole is 40 years old today. Tim McGraw, country singer, turns 41. And Ray Parker Jr., the man who gave us Ghostbusters.
Yeah, one of the worst songs ever.
Something strange in your neighborhood.
Yeah, I hate this song, Kevin.
I don't know. It's just gay.
Ghostbusters. Something weird.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. And it don't look good.
Don't look good.
Who you gonna call?
I don't know.
Ghostbusters!
I can hear you.
One of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah. Bad song.
I can hear you. That's the worst part of the song. He does that.
Well, he wants him to pump it up a little,
he
Ralph.
He is 54 years old today.
Pump it up.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
14 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Oh, we're running.
Welcome late. Back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now we're going to call Afghanistan to see if it's true if the women really shower naked. Yes, this is Kevin and Bean from America. Is it true that your women shower naked? Baka baka? Sorry, do you speak English? Kevin, let me try. Do you speak English?
Thank you.
Baka baka baka?
Mm-hmm.
Click.
Yep, you got that right, sir.
You
got that right.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. He mocks without knowing. Come on.
They don't say baka, baka, baka.
Yeah, exactly.
No, they rarely get anyone to say anything. Usually it's just...
We need to call Tunisia.
Oh, is that song?
It's hold music.
You
don't need to call Tunisia.
We need to call Tunisia. Let me start by saying that my wife runs a charity for abused women, so rape is not funny to me. But okay. It is funny to
unlike
me.
Like most people, Kevin?
No, I'm saying it's especially.
I know all you people laugh about rape,
some people,
but not me.
Some people have whatever the sensitive subject is,
yeah. You
know, they're more sensitive. But this 30-year-old man in Tunisia who is going so far out of his way to claim that his daughter is not having sex, she's 20.
Mm-hmm.
He's claiming.
He's 30?
He's 30 and she's 20?
Wow,
what do you?
He had her young.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The 30-year-old was the guy that was on the phone. With this guy's daughter.
Okay.
He was on the phone with her.
Right, now I know the story, and now I'm confused.
The guy, the father, is claiming that his daughter, 20 years old, who was a virgin before this phone call,
allegedly,
was raped on the phone.
So the guy during the phone call raped her with his voice over the phone.
Yes, and they're taking it to court to see if they can convict him for rape after having phone sex because he doesn't want to admit that his 20-year-old daughter had sex.
Actual phone sex.
Yes. Interesting. Okay, so the guy was not in the same room with her,
nope.
Just on the phone, and now the girl is claiming she was raped.
The intercourse did take place with all its details, but verbally only.
Well, that doesn't sound like rape then. To me, that sounds like phone sex.
What sort of evidence do we have that she was raped?
They went to the doctor and they checked and she was no longer a virgin.
Oh.
Oh, well, then it must be voice rape. Okay.
But there's no way that they did a test before and found that out because he just didn't want to admit it probably. So,
gotcha.
No.
So there was phone rape. That's what I'm telling you.
All right. So it sounds to me, Kevin, and I hate to be on Ralph's side here, it sounds to me that we already know exactly what happened in this story. That the dad is making up a BS story because he doesn't want to admit his daughter had sex. Right.
But
so what's there to
but
call
don't
and ask,
we
then?
Need to get to the bottom of the story?
I think we just did.
Aren't we investigative reporters good enough to call foreign countries and find out what's going on?
No!
That's what I thought.
Spanning the globe, Kevin and Bean investigate stories from around the world. They are Kevin and Bean, foreign correspondents.
All right.
I'm a little bit concerned about calling Tunisia because then they'll come back and claim that we raped them. That's my fear.
True.
We get them on the phone, all of a sudden we're the bad guy.
Watch what you say over the phone.
That is true.
Get somebody for phone murder. The guy drops dead while you're talking to him. You are screwed.
Now, Tunisia is a North African country, and apparently they speak French there, which helps us not.
Oh, good.
Unless we get somebody who speaks English, we out.
It's not going to matter what they speak, guys.
This is the Nawas Tunis Hotel that we're calling.
You're horrible at this. It never goes well. How many times do I have to tell you?
Last time it went well.
It didn't go well.
It did. We talked to a person who knew about the story.
And she said, I don't believe it.
Right.
That's not new information.
But she heard it. She lived there, and she denied that it existed. Hello?
Hello, yes?
Hi, do you speak English?
Yes,
okay.
Oh, great.
We're calling from America, and we read a story out of Tunis, Tunisia, that a family is alleging that their daughter was raped over the phone. Have you heard about this story, ma'am?
The phone on the Tunisia.
You've heard about that. Bite me, Ralph. Bite me.
Talk to the lady.
Oh, hello?
There's your whole music.
I thought we had her. I thought she heard about it.
You didn't. You start saying, bite me.
She's putting us through to the phone rape department. Hello?
Hello?
You speak English, sir?
Yes, sir.
Yes. We are reading an incredible story here in the United States. It sounds impossible, out of Tunis. And it says that a guy is claiming that his daughter got raped over the phone.
Yes.
You've heard about that story.
You have a reservation?
Yes,
I have reservations about this whole bit.
No, we were wondering if you could add anything to what we've seen on the news about the story that comes from your city. Have you heard anything about a man claiming his daughter was raped over the telephone?
Just a moment, please.
Yeah, okay. Here we go.
No,
it started off so promising with the first woman that we spoke with.
She knew about it, right?
Yeah. What happened to her? Where's she?
Why are we in the tube of history?
I don't know.
Can you switch phone lines or something?
I can't. I can't. Okay. I don't know how to help that. Sorry. Okay, here we go. Now this is going to be the call. This is it right here. I feel good about this. Oh, never mind.
That was Kevin and Bean, barely scratching the surface of another story from around the world.
The reenactments and commentary in this program may contain frank talk of a sexual nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Due to mature adult content, parental discretion is advised.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
The American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this program.
Warning. The stunts and illusions performed on this program were designed and tested by a highly trained professional. These demonstrations are extremely dangerous and should not be attempted by anyone, anywhere, at any time.
That may be the wrong one.
That's good advice. All right, it's 9:28 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Your calls are coming up next for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. You call us, you get on the air, we give you a prize. It's as simple as that. 1-800-520-1067. The reason we put all those warnings on, in case young people are listening, some of this is, you're going to love it. Turn up the radio if you can.
A warning, some of what you're about to see and hear is explicit.
We're very proud of the Internet Roundup section of the Kevin and Bean page on KROQ.com because we really do put a bunch of our favorite videos. You know, some of the stuff is stuff we can't deal with on the radio, like our friend Joel McHale's hilarious send-up of the Heidi Montag music video from The Soup. That's
very
up
funny.
There. You got to see that. The Philippine surgery where all the doctors and nurses high-fiving each other after pulling a spray can out of a guy's ass. You got to see that video. It's fantastic. It was down for a while. Now that's back up. Just so much great stuff up there you should be checking out.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Rambo.
First clip for today is my hero. He's a 7-year-old boy, and he stole his mother's car and drove it for a couple of miles.
Nice.
Hit a bunch of stuff. Got pulled over. The police got called in.
Doesn't feel bad about it either.
No.
Not much regret in the young man.
7 years old. Stole a car.
Oh,
may have been
gosh.
His grandmother's car. I'm not sure I got that right. But listen to this, and this is link is up there.
I took my grandma's car because I got mad at my mom. And then I suddenly had my friend come in, and he smoked with cigarettes.
Along the way, he ran over 2 mailboxes, hit 2 parked cars in a Costco parking lot, and struck 2 moving cars near Walmart.
I want to do it because it's fun. Fun to do bad things.
Now, I think that's a good message.
All right.
It's fun to do bad things. That's why
going.
I wanted to do it, because it's fun.
It's on the road if they to had, success.
Yeah. If they had videotaped you at that age, setting fire to the field behind your house, you'd be saying the exact same thing.
No
this
question.
Kid is you.
He's my soulmate.
Driving to a car.
Well, did you know that you could perhaps kill somebody?
Yes, but I wanted to do hood rat stuff with my friend.
I wanted to do hood rat stuff with my friend.
Oh,
you don't think he should be punished for all of this?
Now, here's my favorite thing. How should he be punished?
Just a little bit, no video games for a whole weekend.
No video games
a
for a weekend?
Yeah.
By the way, when he grows up to be our president, maybe that'll be the rule, is the guy who does the crime gets to choose the sentence.
I like
and then maybe
it.
We'll all be happy.
I like it. We did a story yesterday, was it? About, well, butt hash.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Let's be honest. This is a bad way to get high.
Here is a shocking heads up for parents about teen drug use. One Florida Sheriff's Department warns there's a new way for your kids to get high. They're using raw sewage.
Cops are calling it Jankum or the human waste drug, but parents need to be aware that kids are calling it by the more popular slang term, butt hash.
Okay. People thought we made that up. No, you can actually see the news report from where it came up at the Internet Roundup in the Kevin and Bean section of KROQ.com.
And there's a song about that as well.
Oh, it's as easy as pie. You'll always get high by sucking the gas from your poo. In a bottle and smell the sweet air. Suck all the gas from your poo.
Well, that's up there as well.
Oh, my.
Oh. And I think you'll enjoy that. Song about Jankum. But hash. KROQ.com. Kevin and Bean page. Internet rodeo.
It's kind of a waste of internet bandwidth, isn't it?
It is, but it's...
I mean, when you really think about it.
It's fun to do because it's bad.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
On DVD, the critically acclaimed thriller called The Orphanage. That's what you get for giving us a call. 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin Bean's What It Do, Nephew. You can call right now.
All right, let's begin with George in Woodland Hills. Good morning, George. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do, George?
All right, so check this out. I have a latch with a 4-inch TV in it, and I have my PlayStation 3 hooked up to it.
Wow. So, what okay. are you saying?
I'm sorry, but I didn't understand any of those words.
All right, I have an Avalanche with a little TV hooked up to it.
Okay, you have an
it's
Avalanche.
It's like those Alpine TV, Alpine DVs.
Okay, so you have a TV in your car.
Yeah, with okay. a PlayStation 3 on it.
PlayStation 3 on it.
TV okay. in your car because it's so many fewer syllables, it'd be easier for you to pronounce, George.
That's pretty cool, by the way.
Yeah, so... All right, I have a little brother, and GTA just came out like a couple days ago.
Yes.
Right. Before I take him to school, he makes me go all the way to Target, pick up the game, and he wants to play it in my car. And the whole time, I'm trying to listen to K-Rock.
Right.
And he keeps changing it back to video and trying to play.
Because he
Eventually,
wants to play
he hits
Grand Theft Auto.
He hits my hand. I go off the curb. I swerve out of the way out of a pole, and we almost get into a huge accident.
Oh.
Wow.
This is your little brother?
Yeah, he's my little brother.
You should never stop beating him. just knock his block off.
How many runt? How old
like
is he? How old is he?
He we get sued for like him like shooting his BB gun at little cats and stuff. Like he's
okay.
just insane.
All right, you got problems, George.
This family's
yeah.
got
you
issues.
Do.
You got problems.
The state needs to come and take both of you away. Seriously. Your driving privileges, your GTA privileges, and especially your phone privileges.
This kid's shooting small animals with a BB gun. He may not need GTA.
Yeah, right. That might be.
He's got maybe he should get like Super Mario Brothers or something. Something a little more lighthearted for him.
Yeah, you've got to stop him from doing that, George.
All right.
It's fun to do bad things.
It is. That's true.
It is. I've heard.
Jason in Bellflower. Good morning.
Good morning. What'd it do?
What'd it do,
Jason?
Yes, sir. You guys were talking about Gary Coleman. He got me curious. So I got on the internet and started doing some research on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out he was a virgin until he got married.
Yeah,
he had sex.
He may still be a virgin.
He told us that he was a virgin many, many different times, and now they're saying that they never had sex, possibly.
I think they had sex, and then he's like, figured out, I don't want this no more.
That's Kevin, I have not heard that they have sex.
I saw an interview with him after he got married, and they said, so now that you're a married man, have you had sex? And he's like, no, it's just not something that's important to me. Maybe I'll get around to it, but it's just not on my list of priorities.
No wonder she's leaving him.
Is that possible?
I suppose. Look, the guy's got a lot of issues. He's got all kinds of hormonal problems and everything.
Right.
That's why he's
maybe
had stunted growth, and he's got issues with his organs and whatnot.
And depression, too.
So maybe it's physiological.
Wow. Well, he's going to be on divorce court today, and that's going to be good TV right there. That's where they're going to settle their problems, and I think that's what should happen with all celebrities. Let's go to Eric in Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning, Eric.
How's it going, guys?
Good. What'd it do?
I was recently fired from my job.
Mm-hmm.
I went on my lunch break, and I saw this beer that I had never tried, and I wanted to try it, so I drank one beer
right.
with my food.
Yeah.
And a loss prevention manager saw me, and he ratted me out to human resources, and they suspended me for a week, and then on the last day, they fired me.
For drinking a beer?
What kind of work were you doing?
Brain surgery?
No, it's a minimum wage job, but I mean...
Working on a nuclear reactor?
I worked in a sporting goods store, so...
Don't you have to drink to work at a sporting goods store?
You know, most kids go in there high, and that was usually my deal, just because it's pretty boring. And
that sounds bogus to me, except you're probably a terrible employee, and they were looking for a reason to fire you, and they found one.
That's possible.
Eric from Rancho Cucamonga, I thought you were busy setting up a fake drug deal.
No, not at all.
Nicely done. Yeah. See, Eric. See?
Rancho Cucamonga.
She's doing the whole thing with the deal, with the Cucamonga heat. Nicely done.
I'm not feeling it.
Eric,
I think you didn't come up with it.
Oh, that was good.
Maybe it was the delivery, Lisa.
No, you think?
Maybe.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me.
See, Lisa brought that in. Lisa brought that in.
Seems sloppy.
Let's try Steve in Costa Mesa. He's on line 5. Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. And by the way, when we're done with the calls, we'll tell you where we're going to be Saturday if you want to come down and hang with us, and where we're going to be Monday if you want to come down and hang with us. So don't go away. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, what to do? What to do, baby boo?
What to do?
Hey, Ralph, the Hobbit, that's going to be huge because in the book, The Hobbit, that's where they find the ring and meet Gollum and a bunch of the stuff that's important to the Lord of the Rings.
That's what I thought. This is so the prequel. This sets the story up for what happens in Lord of the Ring, right? Lord of the Ring.
How? But they're doing two Hobbit movies. How long does it take to discover a ring?
It took them three Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah.
But how long does it take to find a ring?
I don't know.
Well,
read a book.
They just find the ring and the part of it. They don't realize how important it is. And there's a whole big thing with a dragon. There's a big war at the end of it that starts.
There's a dragon and a war.
All right.
That merits two movies.
All right.
I will tell you that with Guillermo del Toro directing and with Ian McKellen already on board, I have pretty high hopes for it for being quality. I mean, both of those guys do excellent work, so I want to give it the benefit of the doubt. It just seems like an awful lot of Hobbit.
You got Gary Coleman playing Bilbo. That's going to be great.
Yeah, that is good.
What you talk about, dragon?
Blanca in Los Angeles.
Morning, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Blanca.
What'd it do?
You know, I'm just down here downtown. Waiting for somebody to come out of a building, just hanging out. I'm people watching, and right. I've noticed I am sick of fat people. Nothing
right.
but just freaking fat people.
There's nothing but fat people.
Why is everybody fat?
America's fat.
I don't know the answer to that. They like to eat bad food?
Fast food?
You know, everybody made such a big deal when the whole skinny model and, oh, we can't have them. You know what? I'm down with the anorexics. I need some more.
Okay.
Fat.
We need more anorexia.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Blanca, maybe not everyone is as fortunate or as dedicated as you are to maintaining a slim figure. Maybe it's easier for you than it is for a lot of people.
No, we need to keep pushing that in the schools. This whole abstinence thing is not working. Let's push. Don't be fat.
Don't be
Everybody
fat.
Everybody is fat.
Okay. So say sophomore year of high school, you have a don't be fat class.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm in. I like it. That's a great play.
I like that.
Thank you.
Well, I like that we're closing on a positive note with good advice for everyone.
Don't be fat.
Don't be fat if you take anything away from today's show. Let's talk about Santa Anita on Saturday because I'm very disturbed that Psycho Mike is going to have a stage to perform on in front of people who may be there to be entertained.
Yeah, can't be good.
He's going to be up there with a guitar and he's going to be singing some songs.
What are you going to be doing, Mike, at Santa Anita? What's the menu like?
I'll have fire crotch ready,
Hey there, hey there, that song
that we can't play
hey
here.
There,
yeah,
v.
yeah. Ever talk about
hey there, V
again.
China.
Maybe some Brow Down.
Brow Down, good.
Oh. So you'll be doing a medley of your comic hits.
Yes, plus some covers.
Covers?
Covers? Things like out, yeah. What?
Like what cover?
Maybe you'll just have to wait and see.
I was
maybe
feeling bad that I
yet.
Wasn't going to be able to attend this particular Micro
Rebellion. Now you're all right?
Now I'm the happiest little boy in the land.
I think it'll
but
be
But Dramarama will
I
be there.
I think it will be too.
Yes.
Of course you do, because everyone will be paying attention to you. That's why you're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
What are the details in terms of times and cost and events that are being going on, Ralph? You have
El sábado, 3 de mayo, ahí lo vemos. Arriba!
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
That's all you need to
How'd
know.
How'd they get Penelope Cruz to cut a commercial for K-Rock? Gates open at 11:30 a.m. The first race, well, the only race, really, Santa Anita, the Kentucky Derby is what you're gathering for. Is it noon? Admission's $5 to get in. It's the usual microbrew festival setup. You got 70 different types of beer that are going to be there. Lightning will be there. Lisa May, Psycho Mike, Dave the King of Mexico, Producer Alex, Cat Corbett, Omar's going to be on the ones and twos, and Dramarama will be playing live.
Wow.
About that. You get to wager and watch the Kentucky Derby, so it's a pretty cool event. The biggest horse race, of course, in the world is the Kentucky Derby.
And please note this before you go. Don't be fat.
Okay.
Don't be fat is good advice.
Colonel John. Colonel John.
And,
I'm calling, Colonel calling John. It right now. Colonel John.
You'll give their money back if they bet on Colonel John and it doesn't work?
No.
Okay. All right. Good.
And also, speaking of live events, don't forget all the details at krock.com. If you want to join us on Monday, we'll be broadcasting from the El Guapo Rock and Roll Cantina for Cinco de Drinco. Again, details at krock.com. That one is free and 21 and up. Doors open at 6 o'clock. I want to thank our friend Jon Favreau for stopping by. The film is called Iron Man. He directed it and it opens up everywhere tomorrow. Go see it.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show, Movie Beat, Mayor Villaraigosa, but really Gary Coleman on Divorce Court.
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait. What do we got, about 10 minutes?
Is there going to be anything better than that?
Oh, nothing.
He's getting divorced on Divorce Court today.
And you know, he takes himself so seriously,
he does.
Too. It's great. He gets all angry and his little head gets all sweaty. So much fun.
So we'll give you some highlights of that tomorrow morning as well.
Cat Corbett coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including the new one from Weezer called Pork and Beans, also Surge, Blink-182, Franz Ferdinand, Foo Fighters, and more next on K-Rock.